All right, hey there, friends. This is Larry here of Xbox Live's Major Nelson here with...
E.
Who's laughing over there in the corner. This is show number 249. I'm recording this for the weekend of Sunday, October 28th. Of course, on my notes it says 28st, so it's not like the 21st. It's 28st.
Nice cut and paste.
So we're, I'm having bad cut and paste problems this week. I think I've settled into my new office nicely.
Well, there's still this box of random stuff that my
I moved offices here, and he's right. There's a crate in front of me, which is just...
I will take some of the stuff
off. No, you will not.
Hands.
No, you will not. Leave
you
it
said
alone.
I could have this before.
I've got... Yeah, I did.
So I'm taking it.
I've got an old... do you want to say what this is? This is an old... What's the code name for this?
That's an Akebono.
Akebono, which is for
I
those
love
of you,
these. Oh.
Those of you that don't or don't know what that is, that was the code name for the Type S controller for the original Xbox.
The Japanese Type S controller, which is slightly different than the
So
US
that's
Type
from
S
Japan.
This
I got that one. From Japan.
You can tell with the buttons, because this had the what I thought were the cooler looking buttons.
Really?
Yeah. These are different than the buttons on an American.
I've got a
S KDM controller.
In here. I got crazy stuff
Ooh.
In here.
Now, this is always fun. Here's a little, power wart, and there's no, label on it that would tell you what it's for.
Well, it's because if you look at the other end.
Okay, mini
it's
USB. So this will work on
USB.
Yeah, this will work on just about any phone.
I have that problem
Except
at home.
Except it's not 5 volt. That's weird.
I have that problem at home. Do you label all of your wall warts and your power adapters?
I've been meaning to do that for years. I have a couple of big crates full of cords and power adapters and things. And I take the device and I look at it and I go, okay, I need 3 volt, half an amp.
Yeah, but you're
and then I start. Going through power adapters and looking at it, and that's not the right one. Throw it over my shoulder.
Right.
Pull the next one out. No. And usually within a couple of hours, I will either find the power adapter I need, or I will drive down to Fry's and just buy a new whatever it is.
Fry's.
Yeah, Fry's is having Fry's around is good.
So this week was a pretty big week for hardware. Xbox 360 Arcade was released.
Happy birthday to you.
Why are you singing happy birthday?
It was just born. It's now zero.
Oh, okay. Well, or it was born 3 weeks ago on Engadget.
Right. Depending on how you look at it.
But this, the Xbox 360 Arcade went on sale. It was announced on Tuesday and went on sale 3 weeks ago. And it was, it replaces
the Xbox 360 Core.
Or also known as
the, I'm not going to say it.
I'm not going to say it either. But this device, so it's the new green box. And in the green box, What do you say we unbox it, E?
Okay.
You want to unbox this? I mean, it's not as exciting as on Engadget when they unbox and they have photos. It's
It's actually sealed. Hang on.
It's
I got
sealed.
It.
Okay, so you got it.
There we go.
He's opening up. So it's a beautiful white, it's the white Xbox 360. It has, you want to talk about what's on the back there?
Yes, people will like this. So now the arcade SKU has an HDMI port. So now all the new... Xbox 360 SKUs are HDMI capable.
Okay, that's cool. So it takes HDMI.
So it also comes with a couple of differences from the old Core.
Yes.
This has a memory unit in the box.
256 meg.
256 meg, so enough to save an Xbox Live profile, a few arcade games, your save games, whatever.
Yep.
You don't need to add anything in order to save stuff. Comes with a disc with 5 arcade games on it.
Full versions.
Full versions, not trials.
Not trials.
Point that out.
You have Pac-Man, Uno.
I was just looking for the list of what the other ones are. I think it's on the bottom.
Yeah, of course it's on the bottom. There they are.
No. That's
Uno, Pac-Man.
Oh, there you go.
Right here.
That's not what you were pointing at. You pointed at these.
Okay.
So Uno, Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Yep.
Boom Boom Rocket.
Yep.
Feeding Frenzy
and
Luxor 2.
So that's available in there. The other difference is this one comes with the
a wireless
controller.
Yes, a wireless controller, not a wired one.
Oh, I also want to point out that the arcade titles are on disc.
Yes, which is why just a minute ago I said on a disc you get 5 free arcade games.
It's worth mentioning again. Well, okay. A lot of people who are longtime listeners to this show, are probably like, yeah, we've read it, that's old news. But later on in the show, I have an interview with Margaret, who is the who's kind of the person in marketing who worked on this product. And it's the perfect interview for that significant other in your house who isn't into gaming, and you may want to get an Xbox 360 Arcade.
Right.
So I'm going to roll that later. I don't know exactly what time it is because, frankly, when he and I, when he comes in and we do the show, we just kind of start recording and we're making it up as we go along.
Yes.
So especially I don't know. Week. I don't know, but I'll put in the show notes where the beginning and end of her segment is so you can fast forward to it. Put, take the headphones out of your iPod or your Zoom or whatever you listen to the show on, put it on your significant other, press play and have them listen. I think it's like 12 or 13 minutes.
Okay.
And she really does a really basic approach, and it's she, I don't want to say dumbs it down, but she makes it so that people who aren't techies can understand it.
Right. Now, two other things worth pointing out, I think. Number one, for the same price as the old SKU, you're now getting HDMI.
Check.
The five games.
Check.
The MU.
Check.
And the wireless controller.
Woot.
So that's a nice deal.
That is a nice deal.
And secondly, if you're thinking, you know, I need one more box for the house, like as a media center extender to play music on, just a second box, whatever, this makes a really nice second box.
It sure does.
Or fourth in my case.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to stop right now, E, and we're going to play that interview. Because we're in the arcade mode. Why? Let's roll with it. You want to do that?
Sure.
All right. So we're going to stop right now. We are going to play the I'm going to play the interview I did with Margaret around the launch. This launch this week in New York, and then you can listen, if you already heard this, you can look at the show notes. You can fast forward to after it. Otherwise, this is actually a really good interview to play for that significant other or that person in your house or that lives in your dorm. You're sharing your bed with, however it works. I don't know why you're rolling.
Under the stairs in your house.
Right. Anybody who you share your wallet with that you say, you know what, maybe we should get one of these Xbox 360s, and Margaret's going to tell you why. All right, I'm here with Margaret Cobb, who is the director of Family Gaming, right?
Correct.
So welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Larry.
I haven't had you on the show before. You and I actually just met a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks I know everyone in the Xbox organization, but apparently there's a few people I haven't met yet.
I'm relatively new to
Xbox. You're relatively new, but tell my listeners what you do.
So actually, Larry, I work with a lot of the different product groups here on the Xbox team. Everybody's working on different aspects of creating a family solution or a family entertainment experience for our users and consumers. And so my job is to work with all these teams and keep us all on track with a focus on family.
And this week, we announced the Xbox Live, or the Xbox Arcade SKU. Xbox 360 Arcade. What is that?
Well, this is our vision of the perfect family console, family entertainment system. And we thought about, when we designed it, wouldn't it be great if we could deliver a package that on holiday morning, somebody opens up, and within 5 minutes, they're up and playing a game.
Okay.
And so that meant a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So first, as a mom, and I am a mom, so that's part of the reason I'm in this role, is it had to be a good value. Mm-hmm. So the price had to be right, but it's not just about price. It's what you get for that price.
Sure.
So it's like, what's going to be in that box that's going to make this a compelling price? So it's the typical arcade 360 SKU. Mm-hmm. And with that, you get a wireless controller. It's now wireless, not wired.
Controller.
And you get a 256 megabyte memory unit so that you can store games, you can store a TV episode, you can have your photographs on that and show those. And it also comes with five full arcade games.
So these are full versions of arcade games.
Full versions of the arcade games.
Now, which ones are they?
Okay, so they're very cool. And I want to go back about the titles because we were very selective in the titles we picked. So it's the Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Okay.
It's Uno.
Uno.
Luxor. Mm-hmm. Boom Boom Rocket and Feeding Frenzy. And so the latter two, Boom Boom Rocket and Feeding Frenzy, are really targeted at kind of younger kids.
Right.
Uno is something everybody in the family can play together.
Right.
Luxor is really, you know, targeted. It's very popular among women. Mm-hmm. And then Pac-Man. Everybody loves Pac-Man.
Yeah.
So, you know, we really felt like there was something for everybody. And right out of the box, you're playing a game. You plug it in 5 minutes, you're playing Pac-Man or something.
So these games are on a disc.
Yeah, they're on a disc.
So the full versions are on a disc.
Yep.
Okay, good.
So, and it comes with it.
Now, the arcade, the Xbox 360 arcade, that, how does that fit into the whole, what happens to the what people would call the core SKU, which was the green box?
Well, the Xbox 360 arcade is a brand new SKU.
Okay.
And the core SKU we are no longer making.
Okay. So this is I don't want to say the new one, but it's what we're doing now.
Right.
Okay. And it's the thing to point out also, we want to point out is that if people want to, they can pop a hard drive on the top.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of cool. And what, so you're working across all these different groups talking about family gaming, mm-hmm. and me, one would argue that a lot of my listeners are probably hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So how do these, you know, a lot of I have a lot of males that listen to my show. So how do they get the wife to buy one of these?
Well, you know, I am a wife.
Yes, you
and
are.
I am what my boss calls the moral authority in my house. And,
right.
And so how do my doctor asked me the same question. How do I convince my wife to get one of these?
Right.
Well, there's a couple different reasons you should get one of these. Number right. one, the value of the console itself.
And how much is it?
$279.
So it's $279. Now, is this available? Is it global launch or just North America?
Global.
This is around right. the world, yep. so you have to check your local
yep.
pricing.
Yep, yep.
But it's, so it's $279 US right now.
Yes.
That's only... It's only like 30 more bucks than the Wii.
Yeah, and you get a heck of a lot more.
You get
more.
A heck of a lot more. So go through it. So I'll let you
okay.
finish your pitch.
So the value of the console,
right.
I mean, the value of the graphics and all, your listeners all know,
right.
you know, the quality of the,
right.
the box. It's,
right.
it's phenomenal.
Right.
But so that's kind of a hard sell to a mom. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm not really sure this is, you know, still right for my family.
Is mom saying this is the Halo box?
Yeah, that's what they're thinking.
Right.
And so what we really want to do is to tell them, you know what? The Xbox 360 is so much more than shooter games.
Right.
It's about an entertainment experience. And I'll tell you, Larry, I am not a big gamer.
Right.
I'm going to be real honest about that.
Do you want to tell us your gamer score?
I think no. it's 31.
Okay. Well, you know that, okay.
It's 31. And I think 21 of those points came from my son.
Okay.
And I got the last 10 on Puzzle Quest. So.
Okay. Well, you're honest.
So, but my son is a big gamer.
Sure.
And he's 15 years old. And he had his Xbox 360 in his bedroom for a long time. He and his buddies would just come over and hang out together. And then I said, you know what? Let's try an experiment. I'm going to get a second Xbox 360 and put it in our family room and see what happens.
Okay.
And lo and behold, my son's not up in his room anymore. He's down in the family room playing, you know, some of the same games he was playing upstairs,
right.
but he's also looking for a lot of games that he and I can play together.
Really?
Which is, yeah, kind of weird. I'll come home and he's like, Mom, look, I found Worms on arcade and I think this is a game you can play. And it's a two-person game. We can play it together.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, well, this is kind of weird. My son, my 15-year-old son, who wasn't really talking much to me,
right.
now wants to play Xbox
right.
with me.
Right.
And not only that, I'm kind of now one of the cool moms
right.
in the neighborhood.
Yeah, of course you are.
So my status among teenage boys has gone up drastically. So, but what I tell, you know, my friends, especially some of the guys in my old team who are trying to get their wives, is that there's a lot of games you can play socially.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring up games like Seen It, the movie mm-hmm. trivia game, that you don't really have to understand our controller. It comes with those big
buttons. With the
button
big button. Now that's coming out later this year.
Right.
And
next month.
That's going to come out next month. And that,
yeah.
that actually, I want to talk about that value for a second, because that's four controllers and Seen It for how much?
$59.99.
So for the price of a game, you get four controllers and the game and thousands of trivia questions.
Right. Yeah, you
that's
do.
That's a lot of fun.
And then also, the game is really smart. It remembers what questions it asked you,
mm-hmm.
so you don't get the same repetitive questions.
Good.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that game, and I've played that with my kids, and we all love it. So I think that's a great family value.
And then later this month... Viva Pinata
yeah.
Party Animals.
Have you played it?
I have played some of the mini games. I actually, on my last week's show, I interviewed one of the developers, one of the designers, and he was telling me about it. What is there, like 40 or 50 mini games?
Yeah.
It's just pick up and play fun.
Yep, yep. And my favorite game is that burping game. Did they tell you about
yeah,
that?
Oh, yeah, we talked about
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love that.
Wait a minute. Can you burp?
I can't. Oh,
see?
That was good.
Okay.
See, that would have been a big seller with your dad, don't you think?
I agree. I'm just trying to. I'm trying to get you to burp.
I can't
okay,
really,
right.
not on demand.
I bet your son can teach you how.
Yeah, my son could. My son could do that.
Okay.
But that's the other point. My son loves that game. He's 15
right.
years old. He's a hardcore gamer, and
right.
he loved Viva Pinata.
Right.
He thought it was hilarious,
right.
and quite frankly, even though he's such a good gamer, there were some games I could beat him at.
See that?
In Viva Pinata. So I felt really good.
Right.
That you know I have a chance with this game.
Yeah.
So that's something that I like to tell parents. This is a great game you can play with your kids of all ages. You
right.
know, everybody likes it. The characters are cute. It's a really bright kind of game. But the other great family social game is Guitar Hero 3.
Oh, of course,
that's
yeah.
coming out.
Oh, wow.
And so...
I'm famously bad at that game.
You and me both. Once again, yet another game my kids can beat me
yeah.
at. But the fact that I know the music is very helpful.
Right, of course.
So, a lot of it's classic rock in there,
yeah.
and the new Guitar Hero 3 will have a wireless
Well, I can tell you like
guitar.
The classic rock, because when I walked in your office, you had your hair teased up quite high. And
yeah,
probably
yeah.
those leopard... tight yeah. pants, they were a giveaway.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a fan of the B-52s.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Guitar Hero.
Yeah, so that's very cool. And then, you know, we have the other social game Rock Band that's coming out with all the.
Now, what are you going to do in Rock Band? You're going to sing. You're going to play the drums.
I'm going to play the drums.
You're going to play the drums. All right.
The drums. Yeah.
You're the drummer.
Drums. Don't ask me to sing. It's okay. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be the drum player, and I think I'll let one of my kids sing.
Right. Okay. That's cool.
So we've got some of those great new titles, as well as a lot of the typical kid games that are out there: Harry Potter, Shrek,
the B movie,
Beautiful Katamari.
Have you played that? Have you rolled your Katamari around?
You know what? I just got it today.
Yeah, it's,
and
it's
I'm
going
to play it tonight. I'm very excited
to
play
it.
So, so there's some really beautiful and, you know, kid-appropriate games out there. Actually, I was kind of surprised to say this, but I'm going to tell your listeners. We have actually over 200 titles that are E or T rated this holiday. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
See, aren't you surprised to
I'm
hear
surprised
that, too?
As well.
Yeah, over 200. That's incredible.
That is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. I think that's great.
I wanted to also talk about, since probably a lot of my listeners are going to play this for their significant other that isn't into gaming. Let's talk about the parental controls.
Oh, okay. So we've got a bunch of different parental controls. So because you can download movies, you know we can download movies like Comcast and TV shows. There's different ratings for movies than there are for games than there are for TV shows.
It's kind of confusing, but...
But, hey, I don't play the rules.
Exactly.
I don't make the
rules.
We
don't make the rules.
I just try and help parents weave their way through them appropriately. So for movies, you can use parental settings. And, you know, if you've got a 12-year-old that you don't want to see PG-13 movies, you can set the controls appropriately. The same goes for TV. If you don't want them to see Y-14 television programs, you can set that. If they want to play M games, but you're not quite sure, you can block them from M mature games. And also you can... decide who they play with on Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. If you want them to have access to friends or people beyond their circle of friends, you can set those up. And you set it up by child, by profile. So it's really helpful. And actually, I talked to quite a few people this morning when I was doing some briefings, and they said they love those. It makes their lives much easier.
Sure.
When their kids log on. So I think that...
A little bit safer.
Right.
So the Xbox 360 Arcade... skew. So what color is the box? I don't even know.
White.
Do you have one in here? It's a white box?
It is. It looks just like the other
one. Just like the other one. Mm-hmm. It's a white box.
Yeah.
And what's in the box?
The same thing that you get in a Pro.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's got the component cable.
Yep.
Does this one have HDMI out?
It has HDMI.
So you can, if you want, later on down the line, you can buy a cable and hook it into your TV, but
exactly.
It comes with component cables.
Exactly.
It comes with a 256MU. Lots of stuff for $279.
$279. It's a good deal.
Okay.
But I the games are part of the story, Larry. I want to talk also, while I have your undivided attention, about some other family stuff that's coming out.
Hit me.
So we've got some arcade titles. Mm-hmm. That are available, that are more family oriented. You know, we've got the retro arcade stuff out there, but we're also coming out with a Shrek game for arcade, and my personal favorite, SpongeBob SquarePants Underpants Slam.
I did not know that.
Yes. And you have to find 99 pairs of SpongeBob's underpants in this arcade game. Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cute.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it appeals to kids of all ages.
Sure.
SpongeBob is kind of
universal.
Yeah, right, universal. So we've got some great games coming out on arcade, but we've also got some great movies coming out that are family-friendly, movies like Pocahontas and Batman, Dreamgirls. So, you know, kind of some for the moms with Dreamgirls and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
I don't think your son wants to watch Dreamgirls.
No. But that's for girls, you know, for moms.
Right.
That's how you sell the mom on
the box.
Exactly. Hey, did you know Dreamgirls is on there?
Yeah.
Or How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Right.
You know? And then also we have some new TV episodes coming on. We announced a partnership with Warner Brothers, and today available on Xbox are over 100 Looney Tunes episodes.
Really?
Looney Tunes.
The originals.
Yeah. Some of them have never been seen before.
Oh, these are like the Rabbit of Seville.
Yeah, classics.
Absolutely.
And not only are they in English, they're in Spanish too.
Okay.
Yeah, just in case you're Spanish friends.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, so they're going to be in English and Spanish.
That's
great.
And then
also available today, some new Nickelodeon titles. Blue's Clues, iCarly, Backyardigans. And that adds to the titles we already have, like Scooby-Doo and Dora the Explorer. So we're really building out the family content. And I got to say, the Video Marketplace team has just been great. I've been working with those guys, and they keep sending me stuff like, is The Wiggles something you want on there? You know, or
and
would you
like,
rather?
You're like, yes.
Yeah, so The Wiggles. Pickles movie's going to be on there, too. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited.
They made a movie?
Yeah, they did.
I'm a little out of the touch of the Wiggles face.
So, so there's lots of kid-friendly content. And when you buy a TV episode, unlike the movies, you keep it forever.
Right.
And the Warner Brothers episodes, I think, are 80 cents to a dollar a piece.
Yeah, so you can just build it. If you want to get a hard drive, you know, one of the Xbox 360, the hard drive, the 120 gig hard drive, throw it on, or the 20, throw it on there, and you have hours and hours of programming.
Yeah. So I feel like, all in all, it's a really good family value.
So there's a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah. So if you tell your guys, the things that I find are resonating the most with the women are the social gaming aspect that the whole family can play, the movie capability. A lot of women don't know that you can play movies on your Xbox, or even that you could put a movie in, like a regular DVD you can put in there and watch. A lot of people don't know that, or the fact that there's all this kid-friendly TV shows on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And basically what I'm going to tell my listeners to do is have that other person in your life, the significant other who's making the decisions, who's the, what were you called? The moral what?
The moral authority.
The moral authority. Mm-hmm. That have them, they're probably going to listen to the show, and they're going to, you're talking directly to them.
Yes.
So that's so that's good that you're telling them about this brand new arcade SKU, which people have been talking about for weeks, haven't they?
among the office buildings here at Microsoft, yes. For weeks we've been talking about it.
Yes, that's an understatement. Well, listen, Mark, I appreciate you coming by and spending some time with me. Pleasure to meet you.
Hey, great to chat with you, and I hope we see each other again.
Yeah, we'll have you on again. Maybe in a few more months we'll talk about some more cool stuff you're working on.
Sounds good.
I'll see you later.
All right, thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Margaret, for coming on the show and explaining this for some of our newer listeners.
Yes.
That was like a mega ultra Xbox 101. Because she explained all the minutia.
A special guest.
Right.
Xbox. Yes.
Right. Because the Xbox 101 is an E thing.
So should I do Xbox 201 later?
No. Yeah, exactly. Or 102 or Xbox 110, because it's kind of the advanced
level.
And
they can audit the class if they want to.
Yes, and add drop it. So what else do we have to talk? Actually, so the arcade was big this week. Check. That's cool. A lot of folks have been emailing me or sending messages to E, which Xbox Live, that's his gamer tag, E, asking when the fall update's coming along.
Yeah, I've gotten just a few of those.
So before people that are new to the show that maybe have just downloaded the show are probably saying, scratching their head going, wait a minute, what's a fall update? So E, why don't you explain what we do and how we do our updates?
So specifically, we're talking about updates to the dashboard in the Xbox 360.
Right, so that's the thing you sit at when you don't have a game in and you turn it on.
When you don't have a game in, or when you push the guide button, the little guide that slides out a third of the way or so onto the screen. So we update that about twice a year with shiny new features, and you know, it can be, you know, just about anything. Like last year, Video Marketplace was a big part of the fall update. It used to be that you couldn't buy TV and movies on your Xbox 360.
Right.
So Video Marketplace started last year, and a lot of people are wondering, hey, when is Video Marketplace going to come to my country?
When is Video Marketplace coming to Canada, E, or the UK? Come on, E.
Exactly. Or, hey, what new features are coming out this fall? I hear you're going to have A. I hear you're going to have B. I want it. When's it coming? Why isn't there any news?
And then last, so another example is last spring, we rolled out the Messenger integration.
Yes.
Where you could sign into Xbox Live and be signed into your friends list, then you can also see your Messenger list.
Yes.
So that's a perfect example. So we're doing those updates twice a year. We call them the fall and the spring updates because that happens to be the season here in the Northwest.
Right. So probably the biggest question is, why can't you tell us what's in it?
Why? Come on, I know you want to tell them.
I do want to tell them.
As do I.
However, the reason we don't come out, you know, long in advance and say, here's what's going to be in the fall update, is pretty simple. Software is hard and complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to come out and say, hey, we're going to ship all these great features, and then during the development process find out that for whatever reason, you know what, we can't ship that feature right now. We're going to have to take it out. And then have to come back and say, you know what? Sorry, I know you got your hopes up. We're not going to be able to do that. Maybe next time.
Right. So we're pretty quiet throughout the entire process because it's a constant trade-off of we can do this, we can't do that. And sometimes cool stuff gets added in and is able to make it all the way through the process. Sometimes
and
not.
Sometimes things get pulled out at, you know, practically the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because we found, you know, something during testing, it didn't just quite work right, or maybe the user interface was wrong, and you know, it wasn't easily understandable how to use it. Who knows? But until we actually are 100% confident that, guess what, here's the feature list, we're not going to go talk about the feature list. Because what we've learned is that when we do that, people get angrier about the things that we meant to do and couldn't than they do when we just don't tell them yet.
Right, because there's only, you know, it's a function of time and space. We only have so much time and resources to design and develop and build these specific features. And trust me, we, Ian and I, and I've always talked about this, we have a list in our heads and on our whiteboards a mile long of all the cool features that we want to add into the Xbox 360 and on Xbox Live.
Yes, there are some features that, I mean, I've still got a pet feature that I've been wanting, you know, since I got here 6.5 years ago that we haven't been able to get.
Do I know that one? I don't think I do.
Yeah, I think I've ranted. Probably, you may not be able to think of it.
I think I know what it is. I think I know what it is, yeah.
But it's just, you know, we want to make sure that when we say, here's the features that are going to be in the product, that
they're
going to
be in the product.
Giving you. Yep.
That's probably the most important thing.
And we're not quite done yet, but we're getting there, and as soon as we can tell you something, we will.
Yeah, so the answer to your question is no, we're not telling you. We can't tell you yet. I can't even say if we're close.
But we haven't, we're not ignoring
you. We haven't forgotten about you.
Yes, there will be an update coming at some point.
So that's kind of the system update. And of course, the system updates are free. They're delivered over Xbox Live. If you're listening to this show and you're scratching your head going, wait a minute, I can't get Xbox Live because I'm a trucker, I don't have broadband or what have you, then it start that that system update starts showing up on games like in January or, you know, after the fall.
Right. Sometime after it's finished, all right. The new games will have the update on them so that if you put one of those new games into a box that hasn't been updated, it'll update it for you right there.
So that's, don't worry about that. So that's the update on the update.
Yes.
Updates. I guess that's the way to put it.
Uh-huh.
All right, what else do we have to talk about? Talk about the arcade SKU, games. What do you keep playing? You and I played H3 this week.
We actually played some Halo 3, yes.
And then
quite the accomplishment.
I must tell you this funny story. So it was you and me. Was it Lith?
Lith was in there.
Was Spicoli playing? Yes, Spicoli's playing.
Yeah, Spicoli, your neighbor who went to UW.
Yep, my neighbor
they lost 55-34 to Oregon. Mm-hmm. That's got to suck.
So we had me, Lith, Spicoli, you, and there was a fifth person. Somebody that you always play with.
Oh, Mercedes.
Okay. So we're all playing, and, you know, we were doing okay, if I recall correctly. And then you're like, I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to go. So apparently, what happened?
Well, so I was trying to snipe, and I was not having any success, and then I realized that my arms were shaking. Like, literally, like, I was not able to hold the controller straight, much less the reticle on the sniper rifle.
Right.
So,
and why was that?
It was 10:30 at night, and I'd kind of forgotten to have dinner.
Yeah, you're like, I got to go eat dinner. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You haven't eaten yet?
I literally lost track of time. I was not going to play that night. I was chatting with somebody on IM. Next thing I know, I'm playing. Next thing I know, it's 10:30 at night. And it's like, wait a minute, didn't I just get home?
Right.
But... you know,
yeah, we played a little bit together this week. Lith and I played the double teams in the social hopper.
Yes.
Because I like the dynamics of two, and I really like the dynamics of four people. Because you don't have to hit push to talk or any of that stuff.
Right. I think social doubles might be my favorite hopper.
Yeah.
Just get in there with a friend and just hang out and play.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to both, because there's only two people on each team, to both coordinate your strategy and kind of catch up with your friend.
Right.
Hey,
and keep an eye where everybody is.
Right. Because you're not trying to track six or eight.
Liv and I have a strategy that I'm not going to share with you right now that is killer.
You hide and he goes out and kills them all.
It's a modified version of that strategy, but that's not far from the truth. It's a modified version of that strategy.
Okay.
Not far from the truth at all. So we got that going out. Game's coming out next week. Wow. So I was supposed to go to New York.
Sunday. Yes.
You want to tell what's coming out Sunday?
Guitar Hero 3.
Guitar Hero 3. Are you excited?
There's a demo up on Xbox Live.
There's a free demo up for downloadable on Xbox Live.
It's 5 songs.
Speaking of Spicoli, I got to get my guitar back.
Yes, you do.
I told you this story. I gave him my guitar. I got my guitar home. I bought it, came home, played it for 15 minutes, and walked across the street and handed him my guitar. I said, dude, I can't do this. Because I'm historically bad at that game.
I don't have any actual rhythm, but I'm decent at Guitar Hero.
No, not at all. I can't do it. I don't know why. It's just genetic with me. So the demo, free demo's up on Live. GH3 comes out this Sunday, or probably as you're downloading the show. You're probably not even downloading the show. You're probably getting your GH3.
People right now are stopping listening to the show to go get GH3 at the store.
Assuming
hopefully they pre-ordered, because I bet it's going to sell out again.
The GH3 is a little bit different. In fact, I was talking, Brian Crescente from Kotaku called me. He and I were chatting. We haven't chatted in a while since PAX. We don't right. know what happened at that. We were talking about, he was actually really surprised that they actually managed to get a little bit of a storyline in it.
Yeah, there's a story in there.
Yeah.
And it's the way, you know, all of a sudden now there's boss battles.
Right.
And it's not just Guitar Hero 2 with new songs.
Right. That's the most important thing. It's not just GH2 with new songs. There's other stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And in fact, I have an interview with the GH2 guys.
So how about the GH3 guys?
Or GH3 guys in this
awesome.
Case. Yeah, how's that? Hey! So Major's definitely with it. So let's go into that interview. I have Clive Burton from Neversoft. All right, Guitar Hero 3 is coming out very, very shortly, and on the line with me today is Clive Burton, who's one of the online producers, senior online producer for Neversoft, who's producing Guitar Hero 3. Clive, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Larry.
How are things going with GH3? I mean, GH2 was a smash hit, and now you guys are picking up the reins with this title, and you're bringing it online. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's been going great. I mean, it's been a big year for us to add in the online, and the buzz is really, really good. Everybody's stoked on how the game's playing now that the demo has just been released, and we're looking forward for everybody to actually get online and play the game. I mean, it's a seamless experience. You can't tell the difference between you and somebody right next to you and somebody online. So it's great.
Let's talk about some of the new features. I mean, a ton of people bought GH2 on the Xbox 360. They're really excited about it. GH3 is coming out. Now, first and foremost, there's a wireless guitar.
Yeah. We've got a wireless Les Paul. It's a little more reminiscent of the original controller. So the start and select buttons are a lot easier to hit for those people that don't like tilting the guitar to do the whammy. The star power. We also, you now have a detachable neck, which allows you to store it a little bit easier and carry it around to your friends.
Well, that's a great idea. So now you don't have to have this big, obnoxious kind of big bag with you. You can kind of break it down to be a little more subtle.
Absolutely. We've also changed the buttons around and the strum bar, so they feel a lot nicer and they look a little less toy-like. So on the whole, it's a much better guitar than what we were able to deliver with Guitar Hero 2.
So now that
everybody should pick one up.
Now that you've got this guitar, and of course, like you say, it's wireless, what are some of the new features of the game? Because there's one specific feature that I'm pretty excited about that I want to talk to you about. But let's go through some of the new features of the game and what you've done there.
Okay. We added in a co-op career mode, which is brand new for Guitar Hero 3. That allows the players to play just co-op through a slightly different career mode to the regular career. We've got some songs that work better as co-op, so we put those in place of some of the other songs, and then you can unlock those to be able to play online. So you have that whole separate progression for two players, which is a lot of fun.
For somebody like me who is famously bad at Guitar Hero, is it going to be a little easier for me when I get teamed up with somebody else who may be a little bit better? How do you handle that balancing?
You have a general difference between the lead guitar and the bass guitar. I'm a medium player. Don't go in solo, but I play hard on lead when I'm playing with somebody else. But we have the ability in certain game modes to be able to switch between setting up expert players with easy, normal, and hard. And then when we're doing face-off and face-off online, we modify the scoring a little bit so that players who are playing on easy can compete with those that are playing on expert.
Oh, that's good. That's good news for people like me who, like I say, are probably not going to do very well online. So there's a lot of online pieces going on there. Of course, you know, you got the head-to-head and the co-op. Tell me a little bit about how the head-to-head works.
The face-off mode that we have that has been a perennial for Guitar Hero. Basically, we allow the players, as normal in other games, to search for other people. And then we allow them to choose songs on both sides. So each player gets to choose a couple of songs if you want to play like a 5-song set. And then we randomly pick one at the end as like a tiebreaker. And you just have total control over how you want to play that. And pretty much every single mode that's in on a local version, you can play online. Like with the new battle mode that we added this year, you can play that online as well. So instead of just playing the songs back and forth, you can end up throwing attacks over at your opponent and kind of messing him up, giving him lefty flip, changing his difficulty, adding in notes, and getting his notes to disappear. So you got a lot of variation in the gameplay that you have online. And then you can play co-op through all the songs as well if you can't find somebody to come play at your house, which is one of the criticisms from 2. You can play through co-op with a friend online. So
tell us a little bit about some of the achievements, because that was always fun when we were looking at the GH2 achievements. There were some easy ones in there for people like me who, like I say, don't play very well. I unlocked the really bad one. But tell me about some of the achievements that we can look forward to in GH3.
We've got a number. I mean, we now have co-op achievements in there that you can play online. You got single player ones for like the normal completions and stuff. We also have some song specific ones like Through Fire and Flames, which to anybody that tried to get through Jordan for Guitar Hero 2, that was a cakewalk in comparison. But you have an achievement for that, for you to get through 3-star power activations and completing the song. We also have a few hidden ones. We have a few hidden ones to kind of give the player who was close but not quite able to complete the song to get some points. We also have one which is called Tone Deaf, mm-hmm. which you actually play the song through on a difficulty setting with all the sound options turned off.
Wow.
Which makes it's a little bit more of a challenge. So we threw in a couple of oddball ones for people to try out that way. We also have completing the career on Lefty Flip, which is an extension from Guitar Hero 2 where they had one song on Lefty Flip.
Right.
We also have the Hendrix Award where you complete a career both lefty and righty. That one's more for the people that play left-handed normally, so they don't get the benefit.
So it's a really nice progression of what we saw in Guitar Hero 2 to when you bring GH3 out. It's going to have some nice upgrades all around. Since you're the online producer, what were some of the things you were looking for to kind of make the online experience as seamless, whether I was playing with somebody next to me or somebody across town or across country or around the world?
Yeah, that was the first concern that we had when we took the project on. I mean, as it's a music performance game, any lag is going to really kill you. I mean, you can't keep both machines exactly frame by frame locked. Otherwise, the game would potentially pause like you've seen in some other titles. So we worked really hard on getting the data passed across as fast across the network as possible and just making sure that we have the most seamless online experience for the player. I mean, when you play, I've been playing against people in England, and you don't see any problems at all. It's just like playing with somebody right next to you. My only problem with it, and this is something that you'll get with all games anyway, is if somebody's wearing a headset, quite often they'll start singing along with a song. A lot of people can't sing out there. So
yeah, that's just, well, ironically, you're right. It's probably exaggerated, but Guitar Hero 3, because I come across the people who think they can sing in Halo 3, so I can't even imagine what it's like Guitar Hero when the song's gone. Now, in GH3 Legends of Rock, we have over 70 songs of these rock anthems. Can you tell me about some of the better or funner ones, if that's a word that you've played?
We've got over 70% of the songs this year are master tracks, which is great for everybody. We've got the Tom Morello and Slash originals, which you actually play against them. Those are really fun to play, a really good challenge. And then, of course, we've got Welcome to the Jungle and Bulls on Parade, a couple of really good songs that everybody knows, lots of fun to play. Color Personality is a really good one. That's one of my favorites, which has a brutal solo. Living Color came back in and re-recorded the song just for us.
Wow.
To make it tougher. Then we got the Sex Pistols in there as well. They actually reformed, went back into the recording studio to give us a new version of the song. But my personal favorite is Rocky Like a Hurricane. That one's just a lot of fun to play in all the game modes.
So it's really, that's so when people fire it up, they should really swing into Rocky Like a Hurricane, or at least that, you know, according to you, that's what you're telling us, Clive.
That's my favorite.
That's good to know. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the line with me and telling us a little about GH Guitar Hero 3 coming very soon. At the end of this month, it's going to be out on the Xbox 360. It's out on, what other platforms you have it coming out on?
We're out on PS3, on Wii, PS2, and PC and Mac.
Wow, so you're pretty on the Mac, really? Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's coming out on everything.
that's great to know. So, how do you guys do the controllers for the Mac and the PC?
They're similar to the Explorers that came with the Guitar Hero 2, so they plug in through USB.
Oh, there you go. So you'll be all set there. Well, Clive, I appreciate your time today, and good luck.
Thank you.
Guitar Hero 3 in stores now. I don't know if it's in stores in Europe, though. I assume so.
I don't know when the ship date is in Europe. That's a really good question.
Yeah, so that's the deal there. So GH3 also coming out this week. This coming week we have Time Shift.
Right.
Now, I did an interview with Time Shift, with the guys from Time Shift.
Who were the developers of that?
Vivendi Universal. Let me see if I have it here. I don't have it in front of me.
No, of course, that's why I asked.
Yeah, exactly, because I'm completely ill-prepared right now. I don't have my notes in front of me.
So
Sierra.
Okay. So this is a shooter that's not your average shooter.
So, but the most significant thing, and I'm going to, you know, in the spirit of playing the interview, I don't want to really talk too much about the interview right now. But one of the most interesting things about this game is the fact that they've been working on it for 3 years. They put a demo out on OXM.
Right.
People didn't like the demo.
Yep.
And they went back and started over a year ago.
Yep.
So this new game ships a year later. There's a demo out. People seem to like the demo on Xbox Live. And he talks about that. So let me go ahead and play that for you right now. Joining me today is Kyle Peschel, who's a senior producer at Sierra. He's been working on Time Shift. Kyle, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So you're working on Time Shift, which is shipping this week, isn't it?
It is, a day before Halloween.
Yeah, that's exciting. Time Shift has had an interesting history. Can you tell us a little bit about the game?
The game is a first-person shooter.
Yep.
Set in an alternate reality by way of the storyline that's explained how you're actually traveling through time. And it seems as though the development cycle has a little bit of time travel involved in it as well.
That's an understatement.
We've been hammering the game together now for a little over 4 years. And it's come through the efforts of Saber Interactive, who has split office development between New Jersey and St. Petersburg, Russia, of all places.
Wow.
And having spent extensive time at both offices, it's really exciting to see that the game's coming to market now and that users can kind of see what we've been up to for the last 4 years.
You talked about the development taking a long time and so forth, but I want to talk about one specific area, which was last week there was last year there was a Time Shift demo that was released. And I don't want to say it wasn't well received, but a lot of people were scratching their heads. And then, I think it was a month or so ago, you guys came out with another demo, which was radically different. What happened between the two in that time?
We had approximately a year ago via disc mount on OXM,
right,
the Time Shift demo on 360 that kind of reflected where the game was at. Atari. That was a publisher that I had worked at the time. I've been with the game since the beginning, and Saber was under the direction to move forward with the steampunk-inspired world and to focus on some of the fantastical nature of an alternate reality. The result is, I mean, we're gamers who are reading the boards and are, you know, checking out the feedback that people have and have open inboxes to people sending rants and raves for stuff. And although a lot of people really had this ability to slow, stop, and reverse time resonate with them, we started to see that average guys, like if I'm putting myself in a guy's, you know, shoes in Kansas, right? Do you think he cares about saving his video game daughter and traveling to a steampunk-inspired world that was confused because steampunk never took off? I mean, the sheer concept of that is difficult to really like grasp on and to enjoy the gameplay. And so what we found was that you'd come around a corner to shoot something, and you'd be like, oh, that's a huh, and it's doing a what, and I'm supposed to use this mechanic I've never seen before, and then shoot. And it was just becoming overwhelming by the sheer options that you had in front of you.
Right.
And so what we looked to do was to refine it more and take the game to an alternate reality that was shaped by a time-traveling scientist who had gone back and kind of muddled with the future and turned it into a bit of a fascist regime, actually. And so this totalitarian state is kind of at, you know, life. And when you go to rectify his actions, you're stuck in the middle of this sort of military state and start to fight back. And you now understand a lot more of the world as told by a style guide and, you know, can make these right. You can go out and right these wrongs that have been done before you.
Yeah, I mean, how do you, so you're working on this project. When did you realize that, wait a minute, we're now, so you said it took 4 years to ship the entire product. You're now 3 years into the cycle, and you looked at it and said, and the feedback, I guess, amongst your team was, we need to start over.
Yeah, it was definitely a team effort from everybody on board to kind of look at what you've been building. And I think that's one of the key things that development historically has forgotten, that you've built something for so long and you've kind of worked yourself into a corner and you just keep going because, well, you worked on it for so long.
Right.
And it seems rare that a publisher and a developer both have an opportunity to look at a title and judge it for the merits of what's actually there and say, you know what? This isn't working because we made a decision. And if we want to fix that, we're all going to need to, like, really, you know, come together and do this. Because I think that Time Shift is starting to become an answer to so many gamers who have been playing World War II shooters for longer than the war lasted.
Right.
You know, we're all a little shell-shocked by these experiences that have been coming at us. And we're like, let's look for something new and let's look for a little innovation and how can we have that manifest? So taking a team and saying, all right, let's scrap the entire style guide. What would you do with that? In fact, the conversation I think has been quoted a few times online and it involves a lot of cussing, but the short of it is, you know, once the decision was made, we have collectively in the last year changed out the music, the menus, every opponent, the style guide, levels, multiplayer mechanics, the sound effects, the voiceovers, the main character, the suit as a whole, the storyline, 10,000 lines of dialogue in all, and then started to move forward into all of the major mechanics of, like, redoing the entire physics system, overhauling the entire renderer, working with the controls themselves and how the suit actually interacts with you. And it was an experience that it's been a wild ride for the last year, and we had to talk a few guys off a cliff.
Right.
You know, as you say, hey, by the way, everything you've worked on for the last 3 years, we're deleting it. And if you ever want to see your finance guy cry, tell him that all those, you know, original 18 minutes of cinematics are going to now be deleted and you want money for new ones. But that's the story that needs to be told to, you know, immerse a user in an experience where they're like, wow, I own this 360 and everybody tells me how powerful it is, but how powerful is it really? Because we keep calling it a next generation experience. We should probably call it a current gen experience because it's here now for, you know, right, over a year, but right, it's about going beyond just graphics. And I think that's one of the ways that Time Shift has really started to resonate with end users is that when you plop down your $50 and you get the game, it's not just about, oh wow, it looks really good. It's about, wow, I went from a war-torn environment to outdoor summertime landscapes to factories to, you know, huge palaces to zeppelins that, you know, go through massive canyons and stuff like that. And seeing the variety of assets that a console can now offer a user really helps them to get the full breadth of what the game experience is, because it's been years now that we've been putting 5.1 surround sound into games, mm-hmm, but Time Shift offers 5.1 surround sound music as well. So when you're in level 17 and the violins overwhelm you from the back right channel to the front left, like, it makes the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
Right.
And the user kind of seems to really go, wow, you know, oh, that was so awesome. That fight was so awesome. And, you know, the reason the firefight was so awesome is not because the AI were kicking ass, and they do. It's because the little details that we were able to put in there over the last year that really helped accent the focus of the gameplay there.
But wait a minute. You talk about the little details, but come on. You guys had to literally redo the entire game. How did you even have time to go back and say, oh, okay, now let's put some details in? Because this is mind-blowing to me that you guys essentially started over. And I must applaud you on behalf of gamers, because you know that there's a lot of publishers out there that probably wouldn't have the balls to do that.
Yeah, it was a wild ride, and I have to say, like, it's a lot of guys' efforts. That there's some anecdotal stories that go around the office about guys who, you know, had wives in labor, and they were busy in the office at night making sound effects to really ramp up the sound of the thunder to totally overwhelm the bass of your home theater system,
right,
rather than going to the hospital. We have a lot of stories of guys falling on it.
Which I'm sure you don't recommend as generally, you know, you should be with your significant other at the hospital when she's in labor.
I'm sure that responsible people would recommend that, but, you know, I make video games. And
by definition, you're not responsible.
My interests are in making a badass game and not in you know, going home and having somebody, like, totally take care of you.
Right.
My wife's a total trooper on everything, but, you know, games are where the focus is for me.
Now, you know, so people that are going to get this game, they're going to get a very different experience. There's a version up, or there's a demo up on Xbox Live. I just want to hear from you. How has it been getting that feedback from the Xbox Live community that, wait a minute, this isn't the same demo we played on OXM a year ago. This is kind of cool. Or what's been some of the feedback?
People have been coining it as the ultimate underdog. I think that there's obviously a rather large shadow cast by other, you know, releases this holiday season on the platform itself. But I think it kind of shows that we're still looking to participate in, you know, the gamer's mindshare. I mean, people obviously have, you know, limited disposable income to be playing on games, but we're really excited about what we've been able to bring to market right now. It's, you know, like, they tell me I have all these, like, marketing lines and things like that. My PR guys and my marketing guys always hate when I talk because I just lay it out there the same way we designed the game. And that's, you know, if I'm going to buy a game, I want to make sure that it's pushing the envelope and that at the end of the day, I'm a better gamer for it. So when we tackled in the last year not only revamping the single-player campaign but building out multiplayer as well, users seem to respond to that, and the feedback that we saw on the boards lately is that people are really crying out saying, I need to understand what multiplayer is like. So as of, I think, a week ago, we made a decision to start to make a multiplayer demo as well. And we just got out of talks with Microsoft directly to figure out how can we bring a multiplayer demo to market, and that's something that we're going to try to get out there in the next couple of weeks as well.
That's great to hear. I'm sure a lot of people would love that, because the multiplayer is really part of, you know, it's part of the whole package when you come to the Xbox 360. You know, a lot of people love their single player, like, you know, you kind of thinly made a comment about Halo, but they also love the multiplayer. Tell us about Time Shift's multiplayer features, because obviously you're excited about that if you want to put a demo out.
Yeah, well, it's different than single player. In single player, the user can slow, stop, and reverse the flow of time whenever they like while remaining immune. So it's not like a god mode. I mean, you're definitely vulnerable while doing these things, so we want you to have a godlike sensation while you're playing, and it's really empowering for an offensive assault. Well, when we made a multiplayer experience, it's not a whole lot of fun if you have a 16-player multiplayer and one guy hits time stop and the other 15 guys are completely frozen, not able to move, and one guy's running around wreaking some havoc. So we've adjusted those abilities in multiplayer to be isolated to what we call Chronos grenades.
Okay.
And so the user will be playing through the game, and boom, you hit left bumper, a little overlay comes up, you select, I'm going to throw, let's say, time slow. The energy will be exported to this Chronos grenade, which you will throw like a regular grenade, but upon impact with the ground, it will explode into this, like, this bubble, if you will, of temporal time. And anything that's in that bubble will be slowed. People, projectiles, anything. Same goes for stop, reverse, and then what we've invented as the time shield, which is a countermeasure to the three flavors of controlling time. Well, as you play through the game, you can start to use these abilities in standard modes that you've just kind of accepted as, like, mainstays in first-person shooter land that can really be reinvented. Like, let's take, for example, capture the flag. We have capture the flag, and if you're running in front of me and you have like a 50-yard head start on me, right? And you're about ready to get to my base and cap the flag, or get back to your base and cap the flag, and, you know, point scored for you, game over. I could be like charging up my time while running, throw a time stop grenade, and completely envelop you inside that bubble, now allowing me, while you're completely frozen with the flag on your back, to run up to the bubble, run around the perimeter of it, not ever being affected by time, get up to the edge, pull out my shotgun, and start laying shots into the side of that bubble. Now you on the inside are frozen for, you know, some period of time, 5-6 seconds on the inside, watching this shot just completely fill up in front of your face, mm-hmm. and you're left completely, you know, vulnerable. And at the last second, as that bubble will implode and time resumes, you'll probably take about 72 shots to the head. I'll get my headshot award. You'll drop the flag, and I'll return the flag to my own base. So it's about bringing the gameplay to the forefront. In fact, as we were playing with some of the press just yesterday, one of the journalists accidentally shot himself in his own face. He shot an explosive tip dart. At me, and I threw down a time reverse bubble, which sent whatever entered into it back from where it came from, and the dart came flying back at his own head, and he got his own suicide headshot. So it was it's a pretty awesome gameplay experience, and someone that we're looking to allow people to see. And although the demo will include, you know, several modes and a couple of maps, one of the things that we won't be, you know, letting out of the bag in the demo, and you'd have to get the full game to really, you know, grasp onto, is our ability to allow users to make their own gameplay modes. So one of the things that happens in my own personal home is, like, every other Friday, some of the guys in the office come over and we play multiplayer games. And no matter what the game is, we're on live. I've got a couple TVs set up in the living room. My wife leaves and, you know, we become men and play games, right?
Right.
The problem is there's a guy in our office who's totally a camping bitch, right? Like, it just ruins the gameplay experience. And once alcohol's involved and, you know, guys are shooting each other, like, aggression can kind of break out, and a fist fight has happened a time or two in the house.
And all of a sudden the authorities are at your door.
Yeah, it's hard to explain to my wife why there's blood in the carpet, because, you know, it's just, it's not a pretty sight. So one of the things that had come out of that, that Time Shift provides an answer for, is that if somebody's camping, you can turn on, you know, measures, countermeasures for that in a standard deathmatch map. In fact, we've opened up so many parameters with Saber that you can now change spawn times of weapons, change starting weapons, change gravity, change damage, change health regen, change, well, pretty much anything. So that if you want to have low grav insta-gib and you want to make it tuned exactly how you like it, have fun. And if you have a friend who, when he dies, he just sits there waiting for you, you know, for the game to run out rather than respawning, you can turn on respawn protection and force him to respawn every 10 seconds so that he can't camp the game out like that. And allowing users that control allows your ecosystem of your house to be fun no matter what, and for the game to evolve over a longer period of time. Because one of the things that happens with the time control is the first time somebody plays it, they're like, I'm having a lot of, but I don't quite understand why I'd ever use X feature, right? That, right. I don't understand why I'd ever use reverse. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. However, when you start playing the game and you're getting into a multiplayer situation and you see some guy who has double damage coming around the corner and you throw a time reverse bubble down and it ejects double damage from his body and throws it out of the bubble, and he's stuck, you know, flying backwards as well, and you pick it up. Aha.
Yeah.
You know, I've got an idea of this. Or my personal favorite, if we're sharing secrets today.
Yeah.
I love to get high altitude on the maps, right? I climb up and I perch up there with my sniper rifle, but one of the things is there's never a safe exit when somebody comes after me, because usually we only allow one way up to, you know, that crow's nest sniper point. You can charge up your energy while you're up there and throw down a time reverse bubble on the ground. When somebody comes at me, I chuck it down onto the ground, it explodes, and I jump into the time reverse bubble at going down on my fall, and it will throw me back out, and I can use this like a jump pad to go ahead and catapult myself to the other side of the map and get away safely. So it's all about the evolving gameplay that happens around the time control ability.
My head actually hurts because a lot of people can't even get their head around time control. How do you present that in a multiplayer environment, yet still allowing the gameplay to be balanced?
Yeah, that's one of the big things that we've spent focus on over the last couple of years, is that since it's been going on for so long and we've had so many matches, we've been having a great time with it. In fact, in Russia, Saber employs one of the world's most popular Unreal gameplay guys, who's come on board and just, you know, helps with gameplay balancing as well, from his experience with the CPL and everything else. And it's the kind of thing that from previous projects that I've worked on and the big team as a whole, like just playing every day, you start to think about the space-time continuum in a whole new light, and how can you bend that into like awesome gameplay. Because there's nothing more satisfying than knowing your friend runs a route through a map, and you know that, he's probably going to be about this place, throw down a time stop bubble, fire a rocket or two into it, right? And then turn around and leave. Go hunt him out. And a few seconds later, that time stop bubble will implode, and those two rockets will return to flying again that were trapped inside. And you'll be able to kill someone even though you're halfway around the map going on after somebody else. And that's when you really go, wow, you know, my head hurts from all of these like arguments that we've had about the space-time continuum in the office.
Right.
But the gameplay that emerges from that really breathes some new life into what we kind of look at a death, like a first-person shooter is, well, if you want to make a new first-person shooter, you're going to need to add like RPG elements,
right,
or like RTS elements or something like that. And I think the team's answer has been, or you can make a first-person shooter, you know, where you shoot things, and we can add more abilities for the user to really challenge the environment and things that you've accepted for so long. Because in the single-player aspect, let's say you have impossible odds in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trapped, and the only way that you could, you know, possibly get around a situation is to go around them. And I don't know, for the purposes of an example, there's a couple of boxes or crates or barrels up on a little bit of a ledge. Well, in standard shooter, like, it's just a box and a crate, and they just seemingly populate every shooter that's ever released, right?
Right.
Well, in Time Shift, if you knocked one of those off of the ledge and it hit the ground and you ran over to it and you stood on it, and you hit time reverse, you could ride it back up in the air and use that new perch to actually kill guys from. And they wouldn't have an ability to scale up to where you are because you've, you know, used the impossible as a gameplay element. And so it's the kind of thing where, although we have abilities like people commonly say, oh, isn't it just like Prince of Persia? Well, no, because Prince of Persia's time reverse feature is kind of like a, well, like an oh shit button, right? Like,
right,
you push this button and I've avoided a level load, right, on my PS2. Well, Time Shift is working on the 360 with the memory that we can harness. We don't need to utilize your hard drive. It runs all off memory within the hardware itself, that while the world goes backwards, you go forwards. While the world is frozen, you move freely.
Okay.
And while the world is moving in slow motion, you move in regular time.
Okay, so you have completely confused my audience, because they're like, wait a minute, how does this work? Because, I mean, they've seen Time Shift. So let's be clear. Time Shift has existed in online games, but it's been called lag, and you can't control it. So but you guys have actually harnessed this concept, and you've made it you basically allowed a user to use it at will. Is there like a certain number that they can use it per game, or how does that work?
No.
How do you measure it?
You measure it by your bell curve of skill set, right? In the beginning, you know, you can focus on the fact that it's just a great shooter. And as you continue to play through the levels, you rely more and more on the time-shifting abilities, which recharge automatically. In an ideal situation, a user will be able to use them probably once every 30 seconds or so. You'll be able to use them so abundantly that you'll start to like really bend how you think about shooters as a whole. I can think back to previous games where we had introduced double jump ability before it was really available on the marketplace. And I found myself when I played other games, like trying to double hit jump because I thought I should be able to double jump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, kind of evolved into the marketplace overall. Well, the same goes for time shifting. Like, I get into a game and I'm like, oh, I'm going to slow time. And I reach for the time slow button on the controller, and nothing happens because it's another game that doesn't have these abilities. I'm like, oh, they should totally have this, you know. They should have this feature in that game because it's totally more awesome that when you shatter a man's body and time stop and walk through his jibs,
right.
it's just more awesome. Or I in Time Shift, let's say a guy comes around the corner with a gun. He's got a sniper rifle, and he's going to, you know, assassinate you. Well, you can stop time and run up to him before your energy runs out and grab the weapon out of his hands and back up. And you'll see when you reserve time, the guy's like, what the hell? Where'd my weapon go? And he's going to, like, look around. He's got his hands up. He's like, don't shoot. And if you leave him, the AI is smart enough to run off and find another gun in the environment, likely off a dead body of one of his, you know, comrades that you've taken down, and then pick up that shotgun or whatever else and then come after you with the shotgun. So you gotta think a little bit while you're playing the game.
My head is completely hurting. I mean, but between the spending the last week or so with Portal and going in and out of walls, and with you spending time, I can't even keep it all straight. God, it really sounds interesting, and I think you're absolutely right. You need to get a demo in people's hands, because I think that will really, hopefully there's a good tutorial that will explain this concept to me, because while I understand time shift, you're right, when you get into a multiplayer environment, I believe this handles up to 16 players, right?
It does. Now, and we have several online modes as well besides this deathmatch. We have a mode called King of Time, which is unique to the game.
Right.
And we have another mode called Meltdown Madness, which is also unique to the game, where you actually use time as a gameplay weapon and not just as a fighting weapon.
Interesting. Is what about, do you have like 3 or 4 maps with this thing?
Yeah, the demo will probably feature like 2 maps or so, because we'll also re-release a single-player demo with it so that you can have one encompassing package kind of a thing.
Nice.
But the full game has 14 maps, and we're already trying to figure out what we should be doing with our downloadable content.
Wow, so you got, wait a minute, there's 14 maps on the disc.
Oh, absolutely,
that's,
yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, that's like twice as many as a lot of games actually even ship with today, and you guys have delivered. Well, you've also had 4 years to work on the game.
Well, you know, we have, but we've scrapped a lot of stuff as well during that time, because you find that certain things just aren't working as well. Sometimes ideas are great in your head, and then when you put them into practice, you're like, who came up with this one again?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the kind of thing that, you know, we've really been able to focus on giving a user, you know, the full breadth of what they should expect when they get, you know, $50 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, apparently some kids, like, that's not a lot of money, but for me, that's a lot of money, and so I want to make sure that, like, I'm getting the full experience of a single-player game that is going to take me more than 10 hours to beat, you know, and when I play a multiplayer game that I can find that I'm lost in it for hours at end and making friends online and battling it out with guys.
So timeshiftgame.com is where people can check out more details. This is on the PC and the Xbox 360, right?
That is the 2 platforms that will be released on this fall, and then there's other platforms later this year.
So like the PS3, you guys are going to have to get into developing for that one. So that'll be interesting.
It's always interesting making games.
Yeah, exactly. So before I let you go, Kyle, I have to ask, because I usually ask this of all my guests, what is your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Pezman, P-E-Z-M-A-N.
Pezman, so you're a big Pez fan, huh?
My last name, I don't know, I just picked it up years ago and have somehow carried it through for the last 10 years of games.
So if you're online, when Time Shift, which is out this week in stores, it's available. If you're online, you look for Pezman, he's probably going to be shifting time on you and completely destroying you.
Yeah, using time to kick your ass.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. Now, before I let you go, I have to ask this one question. Are there any vehicles in the multiplayer?
There's not, and what we wanted to do was really focus on what we knew we could do really well. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that happens with vehicles when you're driving is like, wait a minute, what if you get into these space-time continuum problems of, wait, if you were driving and then I reverse time and you're no longer driving and then I'm on the bike and I'm driving forward, and like there's all these like problems that
right.
break out of, you know, physical impossibilities in real world.
Right.
So when you get into video game world, it handicaps you as well.
Completely. Well, the only reason I was saying is that this would be the perfect game to have a DeLorean in and reach 88 miles an hour. That's the perfect game.
We're huge sci-fi fans, and I think that gamers will find a lot of fine nuances within the game and the world itself that complement, you know, so much of what filled our heads growing up with game space as a whole.
Well, Kyle, I appreciate your time. Kyle Peschel, senior producer, Sierra, working on Time Shift, which a year ago got nuked, and you guys started over, and you have, sounds like you've shipped a very interesting game. I look forward to seeing that. Of course, we look forward to seeing the demo up on Xbox Live. Kyle, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, Kyle Peschel. His gamer tag is Pezman. Now, I promised Kyle after I recorded that I said, I guarantee I can fill up your friends list.
Okay.
So send a friend's request to Pezman. I'll put a link on the blog, and I want you to fill up Kyle's friends list.
That shouldn't be a problem.
So that was interesting. He talked about, you know, just the fact that they literally started over on the game in a year. Isn't that amazing?
And it's... I mean, I think it ties in well with the fact that we were talking a little bit earlier about software development is hard.
Right.
And you can invest a lot of time and effort into building something and then go, oops, you know, we didn't quite get how people were going to use this.
Right.
How they were going to think of it. We need to change the direction we're going in.
And they completely turned that ship in a different direction. And so hopefully it'll do well. Time Shift in stores this week on PC and Xbox 360. It ships in the PS3. I have no idea.
Some point later.
Not at the same time. That's all I know.
There you go.
That's all I know. It's Time Shift in stores this week. Finally, also in stores this week is, I know, a game that you're excited about.
Which one?
Viva Pinata Party Animals.
That's this week?
That is this week.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So Viva Pinata okay. Party Animals.
I need to have that going at the Halloween party.
How would you, we'll talk about your Halloween party in a second, but okay. How would you describe Viva Pinata Party Animals?
Filled with fun. Filled with fun.
No, that's what you used last time when the game shipped last year.
It is a party game. I mean, I don't know if they'll appreciate my using this analogy, but as a gamer who plays on multiple platforms, what I think of is Mario Party. That's the classic one.
Right.
But set in the Viva Pinata world with, you know, pinatas.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what that's exactly the way you should describe it. It's a fun game that
I don't want to imply that it's just a Mario Party ripoff because it's not. They've done some cool stuff with it. There's a lot of fun to be had in there. So
it's filled with fun.
Exactly.
The Viva Pinata Party Animals is a kids game. It's pick up and play.
I wouldn't call it a kids game. It's a game that kids will like, but it's not just a kids.
Good.
Game.
Okay. It's a family game.
Yes. And this is the kind of game that I'll throw this on a console, I'll put four controllers there, and people will just wander over to it and start playing. And it's a nice, accessible game. You don't have to be a shooter expert or a fighting game expert or anything like that to have fun with it.
So if you're going to pick up Xbox 360 Arcade, this would be a perfect title to pick up with that.
Yes, it would.
So I want to talk to Cameron Davis, who way down in Australia at Chrome.
Cool.
And I was able to get him online. So the quality is a little weird here because we're talking thousands of miles.
Do the pinatas have Australian accents now?
And is one of them a dingo?
Viva Pinata Party Animals is coming out in just a couple of days. And I have with me on the line from way down under is Cameron Davis, lead designer. Cameron, thanks for joining me.
G'day, mate. How's it going? Do you want me to put on a really thick Australian accent? Would that help?
No, we don't want to perpetuate any of those stereotypes, do we?
Okay, I'll put away the shrimp on the barbie and all that. No worries. We don't need it, guys. Okay.
Tell me about it. So you're the lead designer, Viva Pinata Party Animals, which comes out this week, Xbox 360. Now, some people, obviously, last year they played Viva Pinata, and this is a much different game. So why don't you tell us about this version of the game, or this version of Viva Pinata Party Animals.
This one's a lot different. This is basically a party game that anyone in the family can just jump in and enjoy. We got over 40 different little party game, mini game kind of things, and over a dozen races that kind of bridge the mini games. So up to four players can just jump in anytime, have a quick game, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, and they race around Pinata Island with a couple of the characters from the TV show. They just bash each other around. They use weapons on each other on the foot races. I'm just looking at a mini game here where they're shooting at little raise ants in the garden with cannons.
Right.
There's just tons of quick pick-up-and-play mini games. So this isn't a big, complex farm simulator or a garden simulator.
Yeah, because people played Viva Pinata, and it was, you know, they invested hours in it, and they were trading their horse statues. I don't know about you, but people around the world were sending me these crates, and I'll never forget, somebody sent me this elephant that just kept passing gas in my garden. That's all it did.
All I ever get sent was fizzly bears. Yeah. So I just had a big garden just full of fizzly bears. Beautiful.
But this game, so it takes a lot of the characters that we know from the game, as well as from the TV show, and it brings them into mini game mode. Tell me some of the mini games that we have here, because I remember at E3 when you and I met last time, we chatted and we played. I think it was the burping one, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that one always got a big laugh, and that's why we decided to put it so prominently in the trailer and everything like that. We got 10-pin bowling games. We got dancing mini games, kind of like Dance Dance Revolution stuff. We got cannon shooting games. We've got obviously the racing stuff. We've obviously got. Let me just have a look. It's been a week since I've played it.
Yeah, because you actually, you know, okay. you kind of shipped it, and then people forget that when you're working on games, you kind of ship them, and then you kind of step away from them for a couple of weeks before they actually hit the retail stores.
Totally. Okay. Sorry, Larry. Okay, that's better.
There we go.
Okay, we got paint. Plus, we got painting mini games. Plus, we got the games where you're like busting raise ants on the ground. We've got games where you control the ruffians from the TV show. Don't know if you saw them, but they're like the evil characters.
Right.
They've been taken over by radio controlled devices, and now you can control them and bash them into each other. Do you ever see that episode of The Simpsons where like the Bart and Homer are running into each other with saucepans on their head?
Absolutely.
It's just like that. Yeah. We got obviously the obvious mini game where you're bashing pinatas. Now, not live pinatas. These are like normal pinatas that we all know we've used in the world. Otherwise, it would just be kind of cruel.
Yeah, it would be.
We've got games where you have to stay within a spotlight, and if you don't stay within a spotlight, candy pops out of you.
So it's unlike Gears of War when you were playing Gears of War, and if you stepped out of the spotlight, that you were attacked by the krill. That doesn't happen in Viva Pinata Party Animals.
That was actually the original idea. And for some reason, we changed it.
You changed it.
No, we're using that in Gears. Oh, okay, well, we've got to change it then. We've got a game that was shown off in the demo where you're throwing this bomb around, and whoever's holding it when it goes off loses a whole heap of candy. There's ones where you use the controller's rumble, where if you have to use it to detect treasure underneath the ground. And if you detect the wrong thing, then a bomb can go off.
There's a lot of different games here. You guys must have had a blast, a year ago sitting down and saying, we need to come up with a bunch of different mini games. I mean, clearly, you know, you look at the things like all the Mario races and whatnot, Mario Kart and all the Mario Party and whatnot. There's a lot of interesting ideas you can kind of take from them, but you must have had fun coming up with the new ones.
That was awesome fun. We'd go out into the garden and just like sit down there for a while and just watch things.
Right.
Like where the ants are running around. That's where the Raise Ant Stomp game came from. We'd sit in the lobby of Chrome Studios and just watch people use the coffee machine, and then we'd make games out of that. We end up coming up with over like 120 mini game ideas.
Wow.
And then over the coming months, we'd just like chop this one out. Okay, this one isn't that as fun as everything else, so it'll get chopped. Or this one would have a kind of cool idea, and we'd merge two of them together. Like the Pin the Tail on the Donkey game, which kind of turned into Pin the Tail on the Zumbug game. We then put it in space because we thought something floating around in space would be a good idea. That were two separate mini games. We merged them together. We saw people in the office just throwing spitballs at each other. And that eventually turned into the game where there's a big rolling grass ball and you have to avoid it, and it spits candy at people.
Right.
But if you get too close to it, it runs you over. So that was actually a lot of fun. And it's kind of weird because being a designer, everyone kind of thinks you're not actually working, because all we're doing is sitting around in the lounge room of the Chrome Studios office and just taking notes while everyone's actually doing proper work.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone.
It's definitely got to be a little interesting, because you're right. You have a lot more, for lack of a better term, freedom to kind of walk around and look at somebody and say, hey, this looks like it might make a fun mini game.
Oh, absolutely. And everyone's going, well, what are you doing? And we're like, oh, staring out the window.
Right.
It's a tough life. It really is.
Now, I got to ask you, what with all these mini games, am I going to be able to play these over Xbox Live?
Yes. The whole game was designed so you can play it over Xbox Live and on the same couch at the same time. So if you got two people in the lounge room and you want to have four human players, you can connect the other two slots to Xbox Live.
So basically, when I'm working on the burping game, I can send you a friend invite, and you and I can come in and you can actually probably kick my ass at it.
I wouldn't know about that. I just designed them, not actually any good at them.
I've heard that time and time again from different game designers that I interviewed, is that they get good at the game, and they're good at the game, and then all of a sudden the game launches and they go online, and after a week people just start kicking their butts.
Absolutely. Like, I was just playing it with my wife last week. We got pre-production copies, and she's like, oh, you're just letting me win. And I'm like, no, actually, I just really suck. And she was just convinced that I was just trying to be nice to her.
Yeah,
but I'm like, no, I'm never nice to you. Come on.
I also want to point out, this game is rated E for everyone, so this is for kids.
Yes.
Kids are like, did you have to do anything special when you were designing the games to make it more approachable for kids versus adults, or vice versa?
A lot of that was the difficulty level stuff.
Sure.
We got special code that actually, if you're coming fourth, you will get the weapons that help you catch up, and you'll also get a speed boost that helps you catch up. There's also a scoring system that you can turn off and on for the advanced players, that if you're really trailing behind in the points, because there's an overall point system used to calculate who's going to be the winner at the end of the game, if you're coming really far behind, it'll give you a little bit of a boost to help you remain competitive. All our big design philosophy was trying to get four players competing against each other, not really competing against the game.
Mm-hmm.
So we want them all to be really close to each other as much as possible. And we think it worked okay, actually. The focus test groups worked really well for that. They helped us tune it. We brought in kids all the time, load them up on sugar,
right,
let them play the game, and then they just told us what they really thought. Jeez, they could be brutally honest sometimes.
Yeah, you must have been the most popular guys in town when you were bringing in the kids to play a new Viva Pinata Party Animals game.
Oh, they loved it. They absolutely loved it. So we were kind of surprised at first, and it's another one of those, oh, you're just being nice kind of moments. But then after a while, we started realizing, actually, no, they really like it. This is actually working.
So since you got to work with the kids, tell me some of the things that you talked about a little bit a moment ago. Tell me about some of the surprises that you're like, wow, we never thought of that, or that's an interesting point that you heard from some of these focus kid groups.
One of the things that we didn't realize they were going to do in the races was just try to just hit each other all the time. We thought they were just going to be racing towards the end of the checkered flag.
Right.
But no, instead they just try to collect all the weapons and just stand off at each other like a big Western High Noon thing and just shoot missiles at each other and make them blow up and lose candy. So we tried, okay, cool. That means we need to add more weapons. That's a big hit. We'll add more of that kind of stuff in. The ruffian minigames, we didn't think were going to work at all. We were actually going to get rid of them until one kid picked it up and went, oh, no, this is actually a lot of fun.
Hmm.
And then he introduced it to his friends, and then they started picking up on it, and then it just kept on going from there. And with a couple of changes, because the control system was originally a lot different, and then they suggested a couple of changes, we made it really simple. A lot of the minigames are just one stick, one button. Except for stuff like the burping games, but then we put on a real clear on-screen indicator. And a lot of those user interface things came from the kids. They went, well, I don't know how to do this. So we put up a big flashing button icon when they need to press a button.
So some people that are listening to this interview right now, maybe some parents are thinking that maybe this is something that they could be able to play with their kids, that their kids could probably pick up and play pretty quickly and easily and probably beat their parents at.
Oh, totally. Totally. All the minigames, yeah, are designed to be really, really easy to pick up and play. And that's not just for kids. That's for, like, the parents and the parents' parents and, you know, the weird uncle that's never played a video game before in his life. You can just hand them the controller. They can play for 5 minutes. And the other cool thing is, if they want to drop out of the game or if they, you know, they need to join a game in mid-game, all you have to do is hit start. And you can drop in, drop out.
So you can just join up and join out, and then you're pretty much ready to go.
Exactly. You take over from an AI player, or if you leave, an AI player takes over for you. So you can't ruin a game for everyone else by leaving. The parents should feel really, really confident that this is something, instead of something like Gears, which is great, but this is something they can put in the lounge room with the whole family and then everyone can actually play, which is something that I think really is going to start seeing a lot on the 360 platform from now on. A lot of family-focused, friendly games.
Now, you're absolutely. Now, you know, Chrome Studios works on a bunch of different titles on a lot of different platforms, PS2 games, PlayStation 3, PlayStation, Wii, and I mean, anything that's out there.
Yeah, it's been a big year for us. Yeah.
What is that like working on different platforms? I mean, and obviously Viva Pinata is only on the Xbox 360, but you've obviously worked on other games there that are on different platforms. That must be interesting to be able to walk around and deal with those.
Well, yeah, it's one of the advantages with our in-house engine is that we can just get a game running on different platforms fairly quickly. And like, for instance, we got another game coming soon, Hellboy, The Science of Evil. And that's coming to Xbox 360 and PS3, and you can see the different versions running side by side. And because of the way we do things, they're identical. And then you got stuff like Spyro, which is a PS2 game, and then it came onto the Wii. And then we can take advantage of extra features that machine has. But I tell you what, working on the one system, especially something like 360, has made life so much easier because you only had to worry about one platform. You know, sometimes you'd get a game running on two systems and, like, this graphic effect doesn't work on the PS2, but it works on the Wii, and it doesn't work on the PS3, but it works fine on the 360, and then you spend a lot of time trying to fix it so they're identical. But, yeah, one system made life a lot easier.
Cameron, I like to ask this of all my guests. What is your gamer tag?
Gazunta, G-A-Z-U-N-T-A. Gunta. So or for the American pronunciation, Gazunta.
Gazunta. And I'll put a link to that up on the blog. Now, I was reading, and you need to tell me about this, that I know people are going to send you messages and friend requests, but if people play you and come across you in Xbox Live, there's actually a viral achievement in Viva Pinata Party Animals, correct?
Yeah. If you play against me, you're going to get like this achievement that we put in. Hook up with me, you get this achievement. If you then get it, anyone who then plays against you will then get that achievement. So hook me up. You'll get an easy victory because, as we said before, I suck at this game. And you'll be able to get some free gamer points.
Oh, that sounds great. All right, well, we'll be looking for it. Do you want to tell us what that achievement is called, or do you want to keep that secret?
I think it's still secret at the moment.
All right, well, then they're going to have to play you, Gazunta, in some of these games on Viva Pinata Party Animals, and then they'll unlock that achievement. Thank you, my friend. Well, listen, I'll let you go. I'll let you get out back out to the Outback.
No worries, mate. The dingoes are getting restless.
That sounds like fun.
Filled with fun.
Candy fun. And it's perfect because it's Halloween.
Yes.
Halloween, which is E's favorite time of the year.
So I think combine a little Viva Pinata Party Animals on the left with a little Halo 3 with Grunty Birthday Party turned on the right.
And you're all set. All wrapped in Guitar Hero 3 goodness.
Yes. That sounds like a party to me.
So you got your party this week. Yep. And
it's oddly, of all the people I know throwing Halloween parties, I'm the only one doing it on Halloween. Everyone's doing it either the weekend before or the weekend after.
And for those of you listeners out there who've been listening to the show for a long time, I think you'll agree with me in this next statement. That's just the way you are, E. You're an operations guy. You're very specific. It's like you can't have a party the day after or in November. It's now because it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Precisely.
It'd be like celebrating Christmas in January. No.
I did that once. My wife and I did that.
Was she out of town again?
We actually did it on a cruise with my family because we all got together and it was a few weeks later.
See, you would have at least had to like have your own Christmas on Christmas, and then you can do the family thing later gifts with parents.
I want to talk about your Halloween party though, which is coming up in Halloween,
which will also be filled with fun.
Did you come up with that idea by yourself?
Filled with fun?
No.
No, that was the rare, I think.
No. Did you come up with the idea for what your costume is?
I did, actually. Someone IM'd me something. I clicked on the link.
That was me. Like, I IM'd you that.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Were you the only... Okay.
Yes, I was.
I lose track of people IMing me things, but I got an IM.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a great, wallpaper. That's what I should... That's my costume.
And your costume is?
I'm going to be a weighted companion cube.
From Portal?
Yes. Everyone, your listeners know where the companion cube is from.
Okay. So is your girlfriend going to be the cake?
No. But she did actually get kind of upset when I was playing. She was watching. And at the very end where I had to kill the cube.
Hey, spoiler.
Everyone's played Portal by now. We told them 2 weeks in a row, go play Portal.
Right.
So at the end of it where you have to kill the cube, she was quite sad.
she became attached to the cube?
Yes, she did. Which could be a good thing for my Halloween costume.
Hey now. Nice work. So that'll be coming up. I actually want to find, I was thinking about this over the, when I'm, the week between shows, the days between shows, I think about the things I'm going to talk about. And one of the things I want to find out is I don't like Halloween.
What?
We've talked about this. I do not like Halloween.
It's the holiday of
chocolate. It's not a holiday.
It's the holiday of chocolate.
Okay. That's, I thought that was Valentine's Day.
You don't like chocolate?
I love chocolate.
No, Valentine's Day is the holiday where you either come up with something really impressive or get in trouble for a month.
And I've done both.
Yes.
As I imagine most men have. Or
most
women.
Of your listeners, male or female, can relate to that in some way.
So what I want to find out is, do I have any listeners, do any of my listeners live anywhere where they don't participate or the country doesn't recognize this craziness that is Halloween? Because I want to move there.
You dislike Halloween that much.
God.
You came to the party last year. You did costume and everything.
I did. I don't know if I'm going to come this year in costume.
Costume is mandatory.
You know what I'm going to do?
No costume, you're not getting
I know exactly what my costume is.
Okay.
I know. I'm not going to tell you. I know exactly.
Okay. I just told, all four of listeners what I'm coming to.
Okay, here, you want to know? I'm going to show up with a microphone in my hand. It's me doing my podcast.
That's not a costume.
Yes, it is.
No. I'll tell your wife.
By the way, I meant to follow up from last week. We talked about KP and Vinyl Tech.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Some people are working on that. I got some emails. So thank you, people in Connecticut.
Nice.
Thank you, my brothers in Connecticut who are working on that.
Mm-hmm. So you have at least one listener in Connecticut.
I actually got quite a few.
Really?
I was quite surprised. Yeah. Although people were asking me, like, hey, I live in Connecticut. Where do I get this shirt? That's the problem for you to solve, people. I don't know. I would have bought one.
Yeah, there's... Yeah.
All right, so you got Halloween.
I've had a number of listeners volunteer to come clean my house. So I was kind of looking for someone who's, you know, licensed and insured and bonded, but I do appreciate the thought.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I'm not going to just pick a gamer tag at random and say, here's a key.
If you want to clean E's house, send him a message over live. Yeah. E is his gamer tag.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're going to, do we have some gadgets to talk about? Oh, we do. You know,
we have some good gadgets.
We have HD DVD goodness. I have
shiny and bumpy.
You watched Transformers last weekend.
I did.
And it was the 2-disc special edition.
Yes.
And it's got some pretty nifty stuff on here. First of all, there's
one bit of packing weirdness that I need to address. So you open it up, and there's the nice little, the thing you're holding, the little flyer.
Yeah.
So it's covering up one of the discs.
Right.
It covers up disc one, the one with the movie on it.
So,
not
disc
two,
that.
The one with the specials on it.
But this has all this cool web-enabled stuff. You can go online, and it works with the Xbox 360 HD DVD player.
Yes.
Because it has to, because it's by spec.
Yes.
Something with your robot. I don't know.
I didn't go through and explore all the special effects. We just threw the movie.
How'd it look?
And watched it. Looked great. Sounded great. Oh, it's a great flick.
So this is Transformers, and it also sold... It was like the best-selling HD DVD ever or something like that?
It was the...
Fastest-selling?
I think... So, here was the catch. It was the fastest-selling single-platform high-def movie ever. So, there was another... 300 sold more copies, but 300 was both Blu-ray and HD DVD.
Right.
So, of things that were only available on one...
This is only on HD DVD?
HD DVD exclusive.
I thought... But it's Michael Bay, and remember he was making that whole stink about he only wanted stuff on Blu-ray?
Right. And then he came out and said, oh, I had dinner with some friends who were pro Blu-ray. I didn't really understand the situation. HD DVD is fine. And then he came out again and said, no, I actually was right the first time, and I'm not sure what point
Michael,
exactly
make up your mind.
To make. Yeah. But it's HD DVD exclusive.
Right.
So it set a record for, I think the term was, single platform high definition video.
Speaking of high definition video, I'd like my Heroes DVDs back.
I like them.
Well, okay, well, you can buy them. In fact, not only can you buy them, do you want to talk about the special?
Okay. So right now, definitely a Best Buy, and I don't think either of us is sure if this is true other places or not.
Right.
But go to Best Buy. Buy the Xbox 360 HD DVD add-on and get free Season 1 of Heroes in High Def.
Nice.
Which is, I think, normally $70. And having watched the entire set of Majors that I have yet to return, I will say that it looks gorgeous. I had never watched Heroes. I am now officially
I'm sorry. He has not watched Heroes.
I am now officially hooked. I am recording it every Monday. I am a fan. So...
What are we else? Oh, look at them. I'm just looking at these HD DVDs coming out. Star Trek, the original series.
Right.
Blade Runner.
Shrek 3 comes out next month. So I've already had a.
There's some good stuff coming out.
Shrek part.
Oh, Eyes Wide Shut. You like that one.
The first 10 seconds of that movie are quite nice.
Yes, as you frequently point out.
But the other deal that's out there, so you get. Go to Best Buy, maybe other places, get Hero Season 1 free when you buy the player. There's also, Toshiba is still running their buy an HD DVD player and through mail-in rebate get 5 movies free.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were some really good movies in that selection. There was things like Serenity, I think Chronicles of Riddick is in there. There was a whole bunch of good flicks to choose from. So.
Yeah, and if you go up to Xbox.com, we actually have the that little form for you to download as well.
Oh, good. So instead of me struggling to remember... what the deal is.
Yeah, it's really quite simple. There's actually a link off. You go to the HD DVD page, and there's a link off, and there they are.
And go back to that Xbox.com page for a second.
Yeah, we're actually cruising. Yeah, this is exciting. Our listeners love...
They're watching you browse right above that newest HD DVD offer.
Look at that. Oh, that's a nice looking page.
That's a prettier version of the page we were just looking at.
Right.
Okay.
So you get the well, you go up and take a look. We don't need to go over that. So if you're into H, if you got an HDTV accessory, it's good to wow.
Don't drop the recorder while we're recording.
The recorder almost went for a spill, and this show was almost dust.
Yeah. Oops.
But I saved it. All right. What else? We kind of segued into gadgets, so we need to stop now.
And back up.
We need to back up, and we have to do the name the game.
Name the game.
So let's go ahead and take that name the game now.
I'm trying to remember what was it?
All right, that was name the game from last week, and E, do you know what that was?
I think I know what that was.
That was PGR4.
Yes.
Rev your engines. Yes. PGR4, congratulations to everybody that sent in a correct answer to major@xbox.com. I'm putting my hand in the box, and I'm pulling out a random winner, and the random winner is... Subject 117 is his gamer tag. Congratulations. You got yourself a cool headset.
Nice.
I don't know what I got left. I don't know if I have a Plantronics headset or a Turtle Beach. I'll find one.
Are you running out of gadgets?
Oh, no.
Giveaways?
No, I got a bunch of cool stuff.
Okay. They're in one of these boxes?
Yeah, I got boxes everywhere. So
I still have some Major Nelson headsets.
Yeah, I know you do. I gave you some. So I'm working on getting some new ones. Hey, Plantronics guys, well, let's get with it. So name a game. Congratulations to Subject 117. You correctly guessed PGR4. I think I said PGR3 earlier. But it's PGR4.
I missed correcting you that time.
Yeah, you did, because you're often right there to correct me.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why I was pacing while you were doing that section.
But we've often, right. So I was going to say, normally we would have gotten on this tangent and forgotten to do Name the Game for this week. But we're going to do that right now.
Yeah, yes.
All right, here we go. All right, that's the Name the Game sound for this week. If you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com. Please put Name the Game, : what your guess is.
Now, if a whole bunch of people don't get that one, I'm going to be disappointed.
Okay, I think so.
So
I think it's a good one. Hey, also, so send me an email, major@xbox.com, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know what to do. I want to make sure I say congratulations.
Okay.
To Cheapy D.
Oh, yes.
He had a baby.
Congratulations.
So Mazel Tov to you, Cheapy D.
And Mrs. Cheapy.
And Mrs. Cheapy and Little Cheapy.
Yes.
So, I that happened last week, and I sent him an email. I don't know if he got it, but I want to make sure I do a nice shout out to him.
He's a little busy right now.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yes.
I can't imagine what it would be like having his baby in Japan. That's got to be kind of crazy.
Well, that,
he speaks Japanese.
I mean,
did you see the hospital? It was kind of cute.
No.
It said, like, welcome. They had a picture of, like, the delivery, not the delivery room, but, like, the ward.
Right.
So, like, welcome baby. Little baby girl and boy to the world or something. It was interesting translation. It was in English.
Okay.
So congratulations, GPD. We wish you the best, and let's make sure we get her a controller in her hands very quickly.
Yes. I doubt that'll be a problem.
Right. So anyway, I totally forgot about that. I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. So the next segment we have is it's
Xbox 101.
But first we have to roll the Aerosmith intro.
Funky's new intro.
This time with E and Major Nelson. Yeah.
Okay, Xbox 101 for the week. This one is actually timely because a lot of people this time of year are having friends over, and with Xbox 360 Arcade, they're adding extra consoles. And what this means is you've probably got a bunch of memory units floating around.
Yes, you do.
So you've got your memory unit with your profile on it. Your friend comes over with their memory unit. And then you find yourself going, okay, wait a minute. Which MU is which? I need to pull the right one. What do I do? Or I need to save something. Which MU am I saving it to? I don't know if MU A is me or if MU B is me.
Right, because if you actually if you go into the system blade and then go into the memory section of your Xbox 360, it will actually show you which, what is an A and what is an B. But the problem is, usually they just say memory unit, I believe.
Right. So we have provided you a very convenient way by which you can label those.
How do you do that, E?
So, you go into the memory section that we just described.
In System Blade.
Yep. And so, let me back all the way out, and I'll give it cleanly.
Right.
So
he's doing this actually on screen, as you can hear.
Yes. So, go to the dashboard.
Uh-huh.
The blade on the far right.
Do I need to be signed into my profile for this?
Actually, I don't think you do.
I don't think you do. Correct.
You do not need to be signed in for this. So, go all the way over to the right to the System Blade.
That's the purple one.
The third option down is Memory. So, highlight that and press A.
Yes.
And it will bring you to the storage devices screen. And this is going to list every storage device that's plugged in.
I'll talk about that one on the bottom in a minute.
Okay. So in your case, it's got your 120 gig hard drive and your 512 meg MU.
Mm-hmm.
So highlight the device that you want to rename, in this case, the MU in slot B, and press Y. And you're going to get two options, rename and format.
Don't you format my MU.
I would not do that, at least not when you're watching. So select rename, and my habit is I just name it after, you know, my gamer tag. So it's Ease512MegMU, and there's a really easy way to tell, you know, whose MU this is.
You put your name on it, your gamer tag.
And you need to select which MU to save something to. It's really obvious that, oh, I'm saving this. I want to save this to the MU in slot A.
Simple as that. So I actually have my 512 MU is called Half a Giggity.
Yeah, which really isn't terribly helpful, although I don't know anyone else that would
Half a Giggity.
Their MU half, yeah, so it's actually more...
Sorry. Nice. Things are spilling.
Apparently, Major doesn't enjoy Resistance Fall of Man because he just kicked it to the floor.
No, it was... Anyway, the Half a Giggity is the name. And then and also, I have the HD DVD player in... my console here, and there's actually 192 megabytes free at the bottom. That's not usable.
Yeah, you can't save games.
You as a user kind of, let me rephrase that. You can't use it directly to save games.
Right.
You use it for like things like the Transformers and whatnot to store data on. It's what you system cats call a cache.
It stores bookmarks, like when you save that, hey, I want to be able to quickly get back to this scene.
Right.
So you can save a bookmark and then jump back to it automatically. That memory is used for things like
right. that. Right. So that's so if you don't have the HD DVD player, you can ignore what I just said.
So don't try to move your, you know, memory or your profile to that.
So there you go. Half a Giggity, or name it whatever you'd like. Send us your creative name. Send E your creative name.
No, send Major Nelson your creative name.
And so go ahead and press Y. You can rename or format. And that's the most important. And there's actually, I don't know if you know this, E. I didn't know this even until very recently. There's actually a graphic identifier that tells you how full your memory device is. Did you know that?
It's right there.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that till a few months ago.
What do you think that was?
I never even paid. I just wasn't even watching it. But so if you go over to the storage, to the memory section, like we were just talking about, if you're still in there, if you look below your hard drive or whatever memory unit you have, except for the HD DVD player, you can't use it. There's actually a little gas gauge, a little thermometer. It's filling up as it gets filled.
Yep.
So I didn't know that.
Okay.
So we should have saved that Xbox 101.
There you go. It's a nice little subtle UI hint. It tells you, you know, 47 megs free.
Right.
But it's a nice little visual cue.
So if you have any Xbox 101s that you want to share, please send them to major@xbox.com as well. If you want to.
You don't have to.
We'll credit you.
Yes. If we use your idea, we will credit you. We won't credit you. Theft it.
We'll just steal your idea. So. No, we're not going to do that. All right.
Unless you're, you know, KP or Trixie or something.
Do you want to talk about, do we have anything else to talk about? Trixie or Treats.
We need to talk about Trixie or Treats.
Which is coming up very soon. If you go to Xbox.com to the community section, again, I'll put a link. The contest is ending very soon for North America.
Halloween,
or actually
to enter,
for US.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and there's some cool prizes, so go enter.
Her Katamari puppets.
I wanted those so badly. I saw those, and it's like, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah, the Katamari puppets are way, way, way cool. What else do we have to talk about, E? Gadgets? You want to talk about gadgets? You want to swing into that?
I'm not sure I have any new gadgets. The last week at work has been
gadget
insane.
Free.
Yeah, I mean, let me see. I'm not even sure I've been gadget shopping. Ooh, actually, that's not true.
Okay.
We were planning for the Halloween party.
Yes.
And up on Xbox.com, there are 4 pumpkin templates for carving Xbox-themed pumpkins.
Yes.
And there's one that's a console. There's one that's the power button with the 4 segments.
Right.
And there's 2 others. And I was looking at that, and I was asking some friends, okay, you know, what do we need to carve this? I'm carving impaired, so I'm not going to carve it. Someone help me,
right?
You know, since you're helping me with the party prep. And I went looking on Amazon, and I found a mini Dremel that's Halloween-themed that comes for pumpkin carving. So I ordered one of those. It was only like $20.
And is it orange?
Yeah, it's orange and black and looks pretty cool.
You're going to actually Dremel out
several
your
pumpkins.
Pumpkin.
Yes.
Are you going to use the templates?
I'm going to use the templates, and I'm getting green candles to put in them, so it'll have a nice Xbox glow.
We want to see your pictures, so we should probably create a Flickr group so people can upload their pictures.
That's a good idea.
Their pumpkin pictures.
For Xbox pumpkins.
Yeah, for Xbox pumpkins.
Yeah.
All right, insert joke about Red Ring of Light. Go ahead.
Someone's going to do it.
All right, you're not that creative, all right?
It's been suggested many times.
Yeah, so.
Mine will be green.
Yours will be green with one segment. You want to know what I was playing this week?
Okay.
I was playing Scene It.
Ooh, yeah.
The big button controller game?
Uh-huh.
That is fun. My wife and I were playing. I borrowed a pre-release copy, went home, played it on my dev kit. And it's a lot of fun.
Now, whoever it is that needs to give me permission to have seen it at the party,
yes.
If you're listening,
yes.
You need to let me have seen it at the party.
Because I won't let you have it because I haven't gotten clearance for him to have it at the party. But it's a lot of fun.
There's a bunch of non-NDA people there. So unless we get permission, we can't do it.
But my wife loves the game. And she's kicking my rear end at it.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I know.
She should be kicking your
rear end at it. But she just loves the game. She loves the beep, buzzing, and all that stuff. So I've been playing Seen It. Can't wait to get Party Animals home so we can play some of that. I'm sure she's going to like that because there's a lot of fun, all the mini games we talked about during the interview and before the interview.
Now, what I'm still waiting for that I want from Viva Pinata, I want Pinata stuffed animals. There's some great characters in there.
I don't have them?
To be able to buy like little horstachios and things. Those would be awesome.
Or the elephant.
Yes.
Okay.
What's her name? I should remember her name.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
If you know. No, I can't chat. People send me chat requests. So what you just heard was I'm logged into my console and people just want to have random chats with me.
I get those all the time too.
Yeah, I don't know. Do
other people accept chat invites from people they don't know? Because I never do.
I'll talk to people in game. We talk when we're playing Halo. Love talking to people in the game.
People are like, hey, are you the Major Nelson?
During the day, guys, I just don't have time to accept chat invites. And it's always, then it'll follow up with a message that says, please, I just want to talk to you. I have one question for 5 minutes. Well, put the question in your message.
Well, I'll admit, even if I'm at home, I don't accept random chat invites.
Right.
I'll reply to messages. If you send me a well-formed message that's actually
we reply to messages.
You know, if I can comprehend it, and if it's something that I can talk
can
about.
Can I has clean your house?
Yes. There are a lot of questions where people are asking things I'm not allowed to tell them.
Right.
So
likewise.
I'm not going to answer those.
Right.
And unfortunately, I don't have time to answer them all with sorry.
Right.
I can't answer this because usually a lot of people will come back and get angry that I can't answer.
I had a lot of people asking me about my motto. Have you seen my motto lately? Go ahead and pull it up.
Okay.
While we're talking about that. Because I just was thinking about this the other day. And it was, I put it up as my motto. I'm not going to say what it is here. Or you can actually, if you want to say what it is. As he looks at it and puts his head sideways.
I'm like, yeah, I'm looking at that and I'm going, it's the look your dogs give you when you say words they don't understand.
Yeah, like, or they try to understand. It's like, huh?
Stronger than dirt?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It's from a Doors record.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I assume there was some tie-in to the
Doors.
Do
a Google or a live search and you'll find it. Yeah, I was listening to the Doors one day and I just, you know, as I'm often doing at home, you know, in my tie-dye.
Yeah, right, because I can't imagine. You've never played the Doors in any of the time.
I love the Doors. Really?
You always play some random classical thing.
Oh, I got some Doors here someplace. I think I may have some in my computer.
I can deal with the Doors. That's fine.
It's stronger than dirt. You'll see.
I haven't changed my motto in like
there's a story
years.
Behind it.
It's I don't need to know.
12,381 is my gamer score as of now.
You're falling farther and farther behind me. I'm at 16,000 something.
I'm having fun, though.
Okay. I mean, that's important.
I'm having fun.
If you've admitted that you can't catch me, that's fine.
I'm not, you know, am I ahead of Paul Bunyan?
I don't think so.
I think
did you pass him?
I think I did.
Let's find out.
I mean, so
this is the important thing of gamer score. It's not I'm, you know, 438th in the world. It's
right.
I'm ahead of my friends.
Right. Yeah, and that's why we have this. There he is. I don't know why he's not playing with us anymore. Yep, I am.
You are? Paul Bunyan, 12,070.
As of now.
Dude, you suck.
Yeah, I know. He does suck. All right, we're gonna start bringing this puppy home. I had a whole bunch of stuff I wanted to talk about.
And you don't remember what any of it is.
You know, I didn't write any of them down. We were talking about...
we were a little harried getting to recording today.
Yeah, this show was a little crazy. Because let's be clear, I was supposed to be in New York for the launch Guitar Hero 3.
Right.
I talked about that last week.
Yes, and you're obviously not there.
It got, you know, my presence was not required.
Okay.
So I stayed home. I'm going... I didn't tell you this one. I'm going up to Edmonton in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay. I like Edmonton. It's not necessarily the time of year I would choose to go visit.
Right.
Are you going to see BioWare?
I am.
Cool.
I am. About Mass Effect.
Nice.
So we're going
to say hi to Brent and some other people.
We're going to go up there. We're going to take a look at that.
We have some friends at BioWare.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We love BioWare, and people are really excited about that game, I'll tell you.
We do, but that's not... I wasn't just sucking up. There's literally people who used to work here who now work at BioWare.
Oh, that's right. So, that's right. Yeah. Brent works up there.
That's why I just said
right.
Say
no,
hi
no,
to Brent.
But I just remember I was like Brent. And then as I was thinking about it, I'm like right, that's right. He sent me a. That's what I want to talk about. He sent me a request on Facebook. So let's talk about Facebook.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook.
Yes.
If you would like to send me a request on Facebook, actually, you know what I want to do?
What?
I want to get more friends than Jeff Keighley. Because he's got a big TV show and he only has like a couple 300 friends. I need more than him.
Right. That okay.
So send me a friend's request.
Are you whispering, hoping that Jeff won't hear you?
No, he'll hear me. I know he'll hear me.
Yeah.
But so go ahead and send me a friend's request. Should I put a link to my profile?
Just put a link to your profile.
I'll put a link to my profile. Yes. And can I put a link to your profile? No.
You can. I mean, they'll find me anyway.
Right. Yeah. Because
every time someone from the show or someone from the community adds you, it doesn't take long until they add me.
Right. So. Facebook is you know, and we bought some of them this week. Don't I own part of Facebook this week?
You own a part of Facebook, as do I.
As do you.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is a good thing. It's
I've been on Facebook for a while now. I like it. Facebook is a... I never liked MySpace. I didn't like the
really?
Fact that I could go to a page and it would, you know, music would come blaring out of my computer.
No,
or
things
would blink at me and give me a seizure.
I have always said that there's no. Well, that's the wrong URL, isn't it? I have always
not Facebook.
I have always said that that there's no place for me on space. MySpace was just I heard somebody describe it as a sewer.
They gave people a lot of freedom, and a lot of people do not have great aesthetics.
Right.
So Facebook, it's a lot cleaner. You can't, you know, force people to listen to your music when they go to your page.
Right.
I like Facebook.
Yeah.
And it also has, I love their concept of limited profile.
Right.
So you can have someone be a friend, but they can't see everything on your page.
Right.
So you can block out things like, you know, your cell phone number or your email or pictures of your family or anything that you don't feel comfortable, you know, sharing with people that you may not know.
So Facebook is kind of the hot new thing for until the next new thing comes along.
It's not new. Maybe to you.
No, it's not.
You've been on there a little while.
A long time, yeah.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
I think I was on there before you.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
We'll check. It doesn't say when you joined, though. Why are you walking around my office?
I don't know. I'm having one of those days.
Why didn't you sit down?
I was sitting down, and then I got up and I started.
I got those HD DVDs. You know what I need to do is, we talked about this last week, I still don't have the eSATA port lit up on my TiVo yet.
Oh, right.
I'm waiting to buy that external hard drive that I can plug in.
Like the three that I bought.
Yours isn't lit up, is it?
No, I haven't built my home server yet.
I was going to say, what do you do?
Every weekend, it's
yeah, Windows Home Server is now... It's a month and a half overdue. You've been talking about doing your Windows Home Server.
No, it hasn't been that. It's been like 3 weeks I've had my hard drives.
It's been a month.
There was a football game last weekend.
Yes.
It was a big game.
Right.
It took up most of the weekend.
Right.
And I'm gone this weekend.
Right.
I'm gone the weekend after.
Right.
I will get to it.
Well, I appreciate you doing the show before you know, because you're away.
Before I run.
I'll let everyone think about that comment. Thanks for doing the show because you're away. What? What did he just say?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me either.
Not at all. The other thing I want to do is I want to talk about the blog. The blog is the online companion to this wildly popular show.
The online Prairie Home Companion.
Right. So this is at MajorNelson.com. If you downloaded this through iTunes, welcome iTunes listeners and everyone else. I do have a blog at MajorNelson.com, which is my gamer tag. And Lithion, who's the man behind the curtain, he's the whiz kid with he rolled out a new design.
Yes, he did.
Which has been very polarizing. Some
people either love it or they hate it. Yes.
Thus the term polarizing.
Yeah, he put some great work into it.
Yeah, he did. Did some good stuff in there. So we're tweaking it.
Would you like to define polarizing too while we're at it?
I can go look it up.
Okay.
I can link off to the Wikipedia article on polarizing. But he lifted a great job with that. There's great feedback that people have sent me that I forwarded on to him. We need to make some tweaks.
Right.
You know, as with anything, you roll it out there and you start moving stuff around.
Yeah, what do people like? What do they don't like?
Here's an interesting idea, Lith. Why don't you just make components and then people can slide them around the page any way they want?
Yes, Lith, in your spare time, could you reinvent Facebook, please?
Right, exactly. And he probably has got that already done. It's just sitting on his developing machine.
It would not surprise me a bit. The boy scares me at times.
Oh, boy. All right, we're gonna go ahead and we're going to wrap it up, E, because I think we're pretty much all done.
There was something else I was going to talk about.
Yes.
I have no idea what it was. I was about to talk about it when you started telling me to sit down because I was pacing, and yeah. Anyways.
Oh, actually, here's something that's actually, you know, we haven't been really talking about gadgets, but this is actually interesting. I was noticing if you use any of the Microsoft services, Windows Live ID, some of the services, and I'll put a link off to somebody from the Windows Live ID team, they now allow you to sign in and basically handle multiple Live IDs.
I think they call it linking Live IDs.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Yeah.
So for those of you who, like me and you and probably a lot of other people, have 3 or 4 or 5 Windows Live IDs, you can now kind of tie them together on the Windows Live ID side.
And I asked our developers here on Xbox.com if we could do that, and they said, well, they think that they may do it, but it's kind of hard because when you're logged in, you're sending messages. Who are you sending messages from? It gets a little weird.
Right. So would you, if you had multiple accounts, like we
right.
both do,
right.
every time you send a message, the website would like have to pop up and say, which account did you intend to send this message from?
Right. It gets messy
and
quick.
It's a lot more complicated than
for
just,
us.
Yeah.
For in our case. So, but maybe we never know. There are actually some really cool stuff that we can't talk about that we're working on for Xbox.com.
Yes. There's some. Yes.
That's all I'll mm-hmm. say. And I feel bad because I always say that. And everyone's like, well, just give us a hint. No. And so if you don't know why I'm not giving you a hint, go rewind and go listen to the beginning of the show, yes. and you'll hear all about the system update.
Because there have been times where they've had, like, really cool things working, and they've shown them to us, and we've been like, oh, yeah, we want that so bad.
Yeah.
And then it turns into, well, you know, we have to do this first, and we have to do that first, and yeah. So software is hard, kids.
Software is hardy.
Services are just as hard. I would say harder. But.
All right, we're going to wrap it up right now.
Oh, I know what we were going to talk about.
What?
PS3.
Okay.
We were sitting in here. We spent a bunch of time with your PS3.
Oh, all right. We'll talk about that. So I bought a PS3. It's sitting on my... I should take a picture of my rack. I have a...
Excuse me?
Stop it. I have a rolling cart in my office that has 1, 2, 3 shelves. The very top shelf is where four shelves if you want to include the top, which has my Vizio. The first shelf is my retail Xbox 360. Below that is my dev kit, which has all the development cool stuff on it. Below that, at the bottom, I have a PS3, and right next to it, I have the Wii. See it?
Okay, there it is.
I have the PS3. I bought the PS3 because I wanted to, you know, they dropped their price, and I was going to see what, just wanted to get one. And
it's always good to know what the competition is doing.
And James from Insomniac sent me a copy of Resistance, and he's supposed to be sending me a copy of Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, cool.
So I got MotorStorm with it.
James is the guy who randomly showed up at my PAX party, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
And I'm actually...
Hi, James.
And I was on his podcast, so that went well.
Oh, right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's... So anyway, because I needed to get... We've really been meaning to do this, is to get all the consoles in here, because we want to know what everyone's doing.
Right. And it's... I mean, there's PS3s around here. I've got a Wii at home. You've got a Wii at home. But it's nice to just be able to kind of, on the spur of the moment, go, wait a minute. What did they... Yeah.
How do they do X, Y, or Z? Or why are they asking me if I want Windows Media Audio enabled? I don't understand that.
Yes. And it's... So without saying one way is better than the other, I don't mean this as a slam on PS3 or a woo, we're great. But if you just sit down and play with a 360 for a little bit, not the games, just look around the dashboard and the console, and then play with a PS3 for a little bit, it's obvious that Xbox and PlayStation, just kind of our DNA is different, and the way we think about things are different.
Yep.
Because we approach similar things in very, very different ways.
Yeah, so that's I have that down there. I have to get some more resistance. I have to play a little bit more resistance.
We played a little resistance. Yep. We played around with some demos.
You liked Rub-A-Dub.
Okay.
Whack, whack, whack.
Well, I like the duck theme, but it's an interesting game.
So anyway, that's is that all you want to say about my PS3?
I could go more on the it's different theme, but then it's just people are going to think I'm slamming on it, so I'll just stop there.
All right, let's go.
I suppose I should say, I'm finally thinking about maybe getting one for myself. I might pick one up this weekend.
I need someone to send me some Blu-ray movies, because it's really a good Blu-ray player. That's its main competency.
I have to admit, one of the reasons I'm thinking about getting one is the Underworld movies.
I want to see...
Blu-ray. Well, I love those movies.
I want to... Casino Royale was one of my favorite movies last year. I saw it, 3 times in the theater?
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I saw it once. It was good. Or did I see it twice?
No, it was me. I went by myself. I think my wife a second time, and then my next door neighbor who I talked about just a minute, Spicoli, because I grabbed him. I said, we got to go. He's like, how could it be any better? He's like, dude, this is good.
It was a good flick. They kind of saved the Bond franchise.
Yeah. So, we're just completely randomizing here at the end here, aren't we?
You say that like it's new and we don't do this.
Yeah, I know. All right, we're going to wrap it up. This promotional consideration for the site, MajorNelson.com, and this show is provided by my friends at Centricom.net. They provide MajorNelson.com with their secured and assured hosting environment. Thank you to CacheFly for their caching services, caching my files worldwide, around the world. You can get this pretty much anywhere. I've had emails from listening to this in Africa, in Asia, pretty much every single continent on this planet. Listen to this show.
Antarctica?
You know where I really want to go?
McMurdo?
I've been meaning to tell you this.
McMurdo would be cool.
Xbox is now available in Russia. Ooh. I want to go to Russia. Okay. Live is not, but Xbox is.
Live is launching in India in a couple days.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I want to go to Russia though. Maybe I'll wait until it thaws out, like in May.
Yeah.
But I want to go to Russia.
Actually, I had a friend just get back from Russia. The pictures were great.
Yeah. So that's
they're on Facebook.
Do I have any listeners in Russia? Calling all listeners in Russia. Let me know. Send me an email, major@xbox.com.
Or a message over Xbox Live.
All right, we're wrapping up. This is Larry here at Xbox Live's Major Nelson. Thank you for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair. Remember to send feedback, and please, if you see a bad motto or you see a bad gamertag, file a complaint. And I'll talk to you next time. Was that show too long-y? This is after show.
It's going to be a long show, but there are some of your listeners who love long shows.
And then some
they're
of them
like, I have
it.
A long commute. This is going to be great.
Right.
You cannot possibly make a show where everybody's happy.
It's possible if I were to start giving away free things.
No, because you wouldn't give away the right free things, or
right.
not everyone would win, or
right.
someone
somebody
would
listened to it 3 weeks
thing.
Later. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Why am I pacing?
I don't know. This is the first time. Usually we do the show sitting down and you're like standing up. Maybe because I cleaned my office.
I think it's just, it's busy at work right now.
It is busy.
I think it's work.
Do you want to talk about these guys?
Which guys?
I haven't talked about those guys yet.
Oh, okay.
I have in my office from the Halo launch event in New York, finally one of the events guys came over to my office and gave me, I have four of the figures from the Halo 3 diorama.
They're very cool.
And the problem is, E...
You have.
Have you noticed what's the problem with all of them except one?
Hang on. I haven't looked at them that carefully.
So I have three Marines and one Brute.
What's a problem with all of them except one?
They're all unarmed.
Oh, yes. You have no weapons.
I have no weapons.
The one guy with a Magnum.
The one guy with the Magnum.
He's apparently
in the hand.
Left-handed.
He is. Yeah. Did you notice that? So I don't know what happened, but the weapons got lost. So I got a guy standing, one kneeling, another guy kind of crouching, and then the Brute who's just coming after somebody with his legs stretched out. Yeah, thank you, E.
He's doing Brute Smash.
He's doing Brute Smash. He's charging. Mm-hmm.
There's a achievement for meleeing him when he's doing that.
I think I got that one.
I would hope so.
I think I did, yeah.
I got my last skulls.
Congratulations.
I got Fog and Catch, I think, were the last two I needed.
We'll need to you'll need to show me where all of them are, since KP was coming in here. But these guys are pretty cool. Should I give them away?
Yes, you should give me one.
All right, I got to figure... No, not to you, to people listening.
Okay, fine. You have three figures. You should give them away to
listeners. Maybe I'll think about how I give them away. I think they're covered in lead paint.
I clearly think... So we have to send them back. Yeah, you should clearly give those three away.
But I want to also explain something here, that these... these little characters. Also, before I forget, so last week during the show, the guy showed. Yeah, put that back.
No, I'm taking this.
The guy showed up.
This is mine.
The guy showed up.
Mine.
The guy showed up and gave us the Mountain Dew with the fake ice in it.
Mine.
Right.
Mine.
The guy showed up with the fake ice and the Mountain Dew. No.
Mine.
And I took the fake ice.
Grr.
And I put it down here because I'm reenacting Control Room. Oh, come on! Get that reference! Control Room?
I have no idea what you're talking
Halo
about.
Halo with the ice level and all the snow? Okay.
Wow, that was... Okay.
Wow. That was really esoteric-y. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't get that one.
It just... There wasn't anything there to get.
Ice? Anyway, I've got these characters. I got to figure out how to give them away. But the... They're really... What people come in here and they start... moving the hands, and you know, they think they're action figures.
Maybe that's where the weapons went.
Possible, but the problem is they're not action figures.
Right.
They so don't
they're
move.
They're not articulated.
They're completely designed to stand the way they are and be perfectly still.
Right. So they're going to break them.
So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go up to Xbox Live, download the Halo 3 commercial. I don't even know what they're called. Maybe you can find them out there. But the you can download these commercials in high def, and you'll see that they're these wonderful characters that are just really, really... Go into game videos, and then go down to all game videos, and then go down to Halo.
Is that where they keep them?
Yes, E. We need search for this. All right, so that's... what are they called? I think it's the Believe ad.
The
Believe
Halo
ad and the Believe Diorama.
Believe Diorama Video HD.
So go ahead and download those, and you'll see these little guys. I have no idea. There's tons of different guys in there.
Yeah.
So, all right, we are done. This is the official after show is done. We have rambled on another week of great gaming for Xbox 360 owners.
We really did, didn't we?
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of stuff we didn't even cover. I'm upset I didn't realize Party Animals was about to come out. Yeah. I've been waiting for that game, and I got so busy with work, I missed it.
You have?
I had lost track. I thought it was like another month till that game came out.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up now. So, E, thanks for coming over and sitting in on the show.
Thanks for having me, Major. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, no. It's pleasure's been all mine. I must be honest with you there. So we'll talk to you maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
Maybe not. We'll talk to you when we talk to you. Bye-bye.